Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. Late start. Thanks for being with us. And the guys are here. They're going to be here all week. Starting tomorrow is a mandatory minicamp. So this is a big week here at Gillette Stadium. Big show as well today. We'll be last part of the show giving you all the interviews that the guys did yesterday at the charitable golf tournament. You guys had an extended one with Richard Seymour.
Very
good,
interview.
He was very good.
Tank Williams.
Yeah, your guy, Fred. We needed you there.
So is that it?
I believe that is
That's
it.
Pretty much it.
Oh, but okay. They're both very good.
The Seymour one, I think people definitely want to make sure they hang on and listen to.
Okay. So
Richard was at his entertaining best.
We'll do that at the end of this last half hour.
Paul took a shot at him right off the bat.
And motivational.
He took about eight shots back at us.
Anyone who had any doubts about this team, listen to Richard Seymour. All your doubts will go out the window. Best team ever.
What would your biggest question, I know you don't have any questions, Fred, but what would your biggest question be about the Patriots right now?
My biggest question?
If you had to fabricate a concern, what would that concern be? For most people, I think it would be outside linebacker. Right? Most people, I think if they had to have one mild concern, it'd be outside linebacker. Richard Seymour is going to alleviate
those
fears.
I would say mine is what games will they be wearing the throwback jerseys?
I'm glad you took it seriously. Thanks.
You know, isn't that the number one question asked?
It's often asked.
Number one question. If you want to go by the number one question asked,
what's
via
the logo
email,
on the field?
No, it's why do we play at Indianapolis every year?
Right.
That's the number one question.
No, I'd say the number one question is that outside linebacker. Who's going to, you know, fill that role? And are they done looking at free agents?
Greg Ellis still out there?
Indeed.
Yep.
Five teams have contacted his agent.
Yep.
Cincinnati Bengals, don't know either way. But the Bengals seem like they are the leader.
All right. Anyway, we're all here. Andy is here. Paul's here. Eric is here, but he's under the weather.
Yeah.
He believes that he might have some mild food poisoning.
Mm-hmm. It was
chicken salad.
Yeah. And it was not good.
Yeah.
But I haven't been able to rectify the situation.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him. Oh, you didn't even say it.
Come on, just today, please.
No,
just today.
That wasn't even a
gauge. What is chicken salad or
no more
dictionary?
Maura Wilson,
I'm sure it is.
Our graphic artist was chastising me for having a product with mayonnaise outside of my home because apparently she's veteran,
a miserable
of the,
human
my
being.
God, a veteran if, of the food if, service
if
industry.
If that was the gateway for food poisoning, I'd be dead now.
Well, apparently she's right, though, because that thing just did
why?
Not.
Well, she had one happen to have one bad batch?
Well, I'm just going with what I know.
First of all, she's never been right one day in her
she's
life.
She's an idiot. She's running for Chris Ferrera for
being. And as Andy pointed out,
now.
She is the most miserable human being.
Yeah, she makes Paul look positive.
It's unbelievable. First of all, I am positive. That's why they call me positive Paul Perillo.
Positively, just so people understand, Maura is like you
miserable.
Said, one of
say
our
it.
Graphic artists. But if anyone,
the cheerier of our two,
if anyone listening has ever seen the movie,
that's true.
Ferris Bueller. Ferris Bueller's sister, how she just can't stand the way her brother gets away right. with all this stuff. That's Maura with us.
Yes.
She just can't stand the fact that we have
well
listeners
good,
that
good
buy
analogy.
Us lunch. She just can't stand it.
And true. These nice jackets that came in handy today. The who was it, Bill from Vail?
Yeah.
Who sent us these jackets came in very handy at practice today because it was raining, Fred. It was cold. Our hands were numb.
Frigid.
Oh,
frigid.
Boy, here
thankfully,
we
it really was.
Oh, it was cold and wet enough. You can say this was just by chance anyway, but the practice got cut short.
By a few minutes, yeah.
Because they were too cold.
Well,
I'm doubting that the cold was a factor.
They had
a
pretty decent practice.
So
I bet the wet did.
It was like upper 50s. Probably.
Upper 50s! And we're
no,
freezing
I'm
going to
say wind chill was in the 40s.
Oh, in the 40s. Oh, boy.
Shut up.
You weren't
him.
Out there.
Yeah, you weren't there.
I'd rather have been out there than what I was doing.
What were you doing?
Props,
working.
By the way, to.
So were we.
Props to Tara
that
Bertrand.
That is your job you've chosen to do.
What's
we
that?
Choose to do
props
ours.
To Tara Bertrand in the PR department. She commandeered about 10 enormous umbrellas for all
big enough for mine.
What, did you have to call in FEMA for this
she
thing?
Handed,
I mean, come on! Upper 50s!
Commandeered. I mean,
it was raining. It was cold.
God.
What?
You can't just say she handed out
exactly,
some umbrellas.
Exactly, Doc.
She got a hold of about 8 or 10 umbrellas and handed them out to
this
everybody.
This is why
no, she
the fans hate
them.
The media.
First of all, what? Shut up. Second of all, proceed.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. So, through the blinding rain and the wind, were you able to see anything that you could now tell our listeners?
Vince Wilfork was not there.
Vince Wilfork, but today was
voluntary.
Right.
Tomorrow starts the
mandatory.
So,
right.
And he
just,
can be fined as
that.
Much as...
$500,000
if he were to miss all of minicamp.
The whole thing.
According to the Boston Globe.
I don't think he will. I think that means a lot to him. What?
I do think he will.
I don't think he will.
Well.
I have no idea.
You know what? I've gone back and forth like Andy. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not going to be surprised either way. But if he's planning on sort of making some sort of stance on his contract, what leverage does he have in terms of holding out, other than to miss this mandatory minicamp?
Well,
in other words, why would he show up if he's really trying to make a statement?
Look, maybe he's not really looking for leverage. He's just saying, if I don't need to be there, I'm not going to be there.
Oh, I understand why. Yeah. No, I agree with you on why he hasn't been at OTAs. He doesn't have to be there. Andy made that point a couple of weeks ago. I'm in a contract negotiation. Why should I do something I don't have to do that could jeopardize my stance,
yesterday's
my negotiation
golf
position.
Tournament was mandatory.
And
he was there.
And here's the thing, too. There's mandatory football and there's mandatory life.
Right,
like
and
ownership.
PR and everything.
And that I couldn't get anybody to tell me for sure, but I don't remember guys in these contract situations missing the golf tournament.
I don't remember.
I don't remember guys. I mean, now I might be wrong on that, but Seymour, I remember being there. Samuel, I think, was there, too, and he was in a pretty good heated holdout.
Yeah.
Branch.
Yeah.
They usually, when Robert Kraft asked them to do basically one specific thing.
How about if he asked them just sign this contract?
Well, that's different.
Well, plus,
that's football.
The charitable thing is, I mean, I got to think even an agent who's looking for the most money ever would say,
you
go to
there.
The Charitable Foundation golf tournament. It's in the best interest of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them don't even play.
Right.
They
you
just
show
around,
up,
they
shake a couple
of
hands, kiss a couple babies.
Right. So I think that. More often than not, they're going to be.
So, Andy.
Vince did play, though.
No, I know.
Andy,
I heard
say,
he had great
golf shoes.
You say
he's out tomorrow?
I said I have no idea.
I say he's out.
Eric says he's out. Paul?
I said I had no idea.
Out or in? Wilfork tomorrow.
I'm going to say out.
Grow a set, Andy.
I'm saying,
okay, he'll
be
here.
Be here.
I just
and I like it.
Could be different than
yeah. Plus, I like it.
Well, Andy,
I like the flip-flop of Monday, he's at what he goes to the golf tournament. Tuesday, not there. Wednesday, there. I like it. Plus, I agree with Fred. I think the money is an issue to him. Although you can always get that negotiated out later.
Exactly.
You can get that back.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even not give it up.
We'll find out. I mean, I hope he's there to be a nice
for us. Yeah.
But, you know, give us something to talk about. Give us someone to talk to.
But I think, like you said, Paul, if he's really trying to make a point, you know, missing the voluntary ones is really not that big a point. You're making more of a point if you miss the mandatory ones.
And you don't want, I mean, if you're Vince, you don't want it to go into training camp either because you want to get it done.
Right. So you make your
statement.
So you want
to make sure, listen, I'm serious. I'm not going to show up to these things. I'm not going to go to mini camp. It's kind of hard to threaten not to go to training camp if you went to mini camp.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's telling them, listen, I want this contract done. I'm not going to go to mini camp. I'm not going to go to training camp. I want to be signed.
I got a feeling, though, it's at the point where the offer's been made by the Patriots. They believe it's fair. And there's nothing else to talk about. I mean, if you don't want to play for the current contract and you don't like what we've offered you for next year and your way to do it is not play, well, that's fine. But there's nothing else to talk about.
But yeah, that's not how a negotiation proceeds.
I mean, there is. Because they want Vince Wilfork on the field in September.
Let's look at Seymour, okay? What happened with him, and he eventually came back, and they, you know, gave him some deal.
$1 million.
Yeah.
And he missed the mini camp too, didn't he?
He did. And part of training.
And part of training camp.
Yeah.
I don't put Wilfork at the time. We've got to remember Seymour was like this, the greatest.
Multi-time Pro Bowler. And
I don't put Wilfork on that level where the Patriots are going to be like, we got to get this done.
Really?
I don't.
Wilfork, you're talking about Seymour at the time.
At the time, not
compared
now.
Compared to Wilfork now.
Yeah.
I side with Fred on that. I don't think Wilfork is at the level of Seymour.
I don't know.
At the time, you're not an all-pro.
Now, remember, Seymour is a three-down player. Wilfork's a two-down player, and the Patriots might just have a value on those guys.
Is Freddie in spin mode?
No,
here? Is he putting his Patriot hat on?
On the other hand, I'm sure that his agent is telling him, or telling the Patriots, look, if we go elsewhere, we will be a three-down player. We're not going to be in a nose tackle. He'll go back to being baby sap. We know he can play. Well, this is what I'm sure his agent's
That's
saying.
That's what his agent's saying.
That anywhere else, we're going to get paid like a three-down player because we are. We can be a three-down player. You know, so I see both sides. I really do.
So you're willing to let both of them walk?
Seymour and Wilfork?
I mean, because you have ongoing, I would think, you kind of have to try to plan for both or either or one. Or, I mean, what happens if it blows up in your face and next year you're without Wilfork and Seymour and you just have Ty Warren left from your first-round defensive line?
No, I hear you. I hear you.
And you kind of walk in a tightrope there. And I think personally I prioritize Wilfork. So I want him first. Seymour is my second priority. But you got to be careful or you could end up with neither.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, regardless of who you prioritize, you still have the risk of signing
that's
them both
what I
or
mean.
Losing them.
Right. And, I mean, that's a dangerous game to play.
You want to talk about
wide receiver needing an overhaul or cornerback needing an overhaul. You lose both those guys. All of a sudden, this defensive line that's a foundation of your defense.
And here's what I hate about this discussion, and I know that we have to have it. I want to win the freaking Super Bowl this year first.
And that's why
worry about next year.
And that's why you can't say, well, Vince, here's the offer, take it or leave it. Because if he says leave it and starts sitting out regular season
I
games,
jeopardize winning the Super Bowl.
Your defense takes a significant hit.
I hear that.
So
it's not as black and white as just here's the offer, go away or come.
You say nothing, even if he doesn't hold out, if he comes back, if he's disgruntled, if it's maybe he starts chirping in Seymour's ear.
Or both of them start, both start chirping.
If Ty Warren is not happy, you know.
Well, he should be happy.
But who knows? Maybe you know those guys are pretty close. Those three guys, I think I'd put Jarvis in that group, and to a lesser extent, Mike Wright. They've been together now for several years. I think that group is pretty close. All of a sudden, they're not happy. They think one of their guys is getting kind of screwed.
And the last time this happened, Samuel's year, he went into the Super Bowl against the Giants and dropped that interception and lost the Super Bowl for the Patriots. So you don't want to see a missed tackle by Wilfork.
Because
of all this.
That's true. Right. Good point, Freddie.
I'll tell you another part of it that enters into this, and I don't know if this is what Wilfork is talking about or thinking about, but the whole franchise thing hanging over his head, and I wonder. Okay, we have some. Yeah, if you're right, Freddie, about this three-down thing, and maybe they don't see the value that maybe Wilfork sees in himself, all right, we can agree to disagree about that. Let's play out the season. We won't franchise you. And I know they've done that in the past. I don't know if they'd be willing to do that again with a guy like Will Fulk. They did it with Samuel, and it worked. They got a good season out of Samuel.
Right? I wouldn't be willing to do it.
No, I don't know if I would or not. I'm not saying I would. I'm wondering.
I definitely
would.
Just
the options.
But with the unknown of the CBA, that hinders your ability to sign a long-term deal, I think you need that safety net of the franchise.
For franchise purposes, is he categorized as just a defensive lineman?
Tackle.
Okay, so now would Seymour be an end, or would he be a tackle? Because what is he?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because an end is going to get a lot more than a tackle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's been, and I know that someone who knows once told me he likes to characterize himself as a defensive end when it suits him, i.e., as a franchise player, he'd consider himself an end.
He's a tackle.
Bingo.
What's that?
Pro Bowl, he's a tackle.
He wants to distinguish himself as
a defensive
tackle.
He doesn't
want
to be compared to Jason Taylor. He wants to be compared to other slobs inside.
Right.
So you can't have it both ways if you're Richard.
But, you know,
but it's based on the league.
Those things are changing because, what, now 13, 14 teams use a 3-4? So that's not –
is it that many now?
A lot.
Yeah. That's not just, you know, a couple teams now that are running 3-4. This is now – so what happens to that?
But I would argue they're all D tackles.
I would too.
And now I have to compare Javon Kearse to Jason Taylor, to Adalys Thomas, to outside linebackers that make their money rushing the passer.
Right.
I mean – I know it's hard to maybe do on paper, but in my mind it seems pretty simple to do. I can look at it and tell you what I consider the guy.
Now, Will Fork said, I think at least a couple of times, that he's not looking for a Haynesworth-type deal.
Well, he shouldn't be. He can't be.
No, but that was one of the sticking points.
Why can't he be? He can look for whatever he wants.
That's really magnanimous about him because he's not worth Haynesworth money.
But he can look for whatever he wants, and we've all said a million times it takes one team. One team that looks for a nose tackle. Maybe some team that has money. They're looking to
bidding
3-4. Like Green Bay. I don't know what their cap situation is. Or just name some team that's kind of new in the 3-4. They want a nose tackle to build around. Maybe they overpay for it.
Well, let's
I don't
look
think
at
he's
going to
get much less than Haynesworth. I think he's going to be in the 30s in terms of his guarantee. And Haynesworth is low 40s. So I don't think there's going to be that much of a difference. Now, I don't think he's as good as Haynesworth. And they're totally different kinds of players. And Andy's brought this up also in the past, about who knows if Will Fulk could be the penetrating baby sap guy that, you know, he was at the University of Miami. I don't know. I don't think he could. I think Haynesworth is a better athlete than Will Fulk, and I think that he's capable as an interior guy of making more plays. That doesn't mean I don't think Will Fulk is a very good player, and he's very athletic for his size.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
No, I mean.
But forget that $100 million. It's $41 million is the number you have to keep in mind with Haynesworth. That's his guarantee. Yeah. And I don't think Will Fulk, if Will Fulk truly got on the open market, I think he would approach that.
You do?
Yes.
Really?
Especially with the proliferation of 3-4 teams, people need a guy like that.
But on a 3-4 team, they're not going to pay the nose tackle.
Why
not?
Because he's only on the field
for
2 downs.
How much did Chris Jenkins get when he went to the Jets?
Yes, and how much does Jamal Williams get? And how much does Casey Hampton get?
Good question. Answer it. I don't know.
A lot. I know they were big deals.
They're getting $30 million guaranteed? No. No way.
All right. Strippers, send in the Chris Jenkins contract. We need that one.
Okay.
That's the other thing. Your cap number is going up there as
those
guys sign.
Is he a pure nose tackle?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he was last year.
Two down nose tackle?
Fred, you can have the guy on the field as many downs as you want. It's your choice.
No, I know, but Will Fork doesn't.
But most nose tackles are two-down nose tackles.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Because when you go to sub-packages,
to do that, to be a three-down guy.
I'm just making sure.
Especially
here.
If they pay him that
I just want to make sure we're comparing apples to apples.
Are we paving the road?
What's
are we paving the road out of town? Are we starting to shoot him down?
What's Ty? Yeah.
Not a lot of playmaking.
I love Vince. I wanted to work out.
Not a lot of numbers in the big play categories.
What's Ty Warren's guarantee?
We 11 million.
18.
We saw what happened when the Patriots brought in Ted Washington that year, a true prototype. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl and won it. It makes all the difference in the world in the system to have a good guy.
And that's why saying
teams are going to pay
all those
pay
13 teams you're referencing. Right. Someone might see him and say, he can make our middle linebackers better. He can make everything better.
And that's why they're not blowing this guy off. You know, let's just say that.
But you make it sound like they are.
I know, I'm not.
You said, here's the offer. It's on the table. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, you have us a little concerned.
You know,
I need to ask you. Can we clarify? Is this Fred Kearse?
If he goes, obviously Ron Brace is the next guy. But how is Ron Brace going to get minutes this season so that we know he can be the next guy?
Well, if Will Fork doesn't show up for mini camp and training camp, then you're going to have to stick somebody in there.
And by the way, right now, Mike Wright's the next guy, both in terms of reps and you paid him some
money.
But
not long term. Not, you know, we saw what happened when we're weak up the middle. We can't be weak up the middle.
But all I'm saying is, based on reps and dollars, Mike Wright is next in line.
I got to go. I have to leave early today.
You're just tossing bombs and then you leave them? Well, at least throw us to a commercial before you go and do something.
Well, I will. We'll go to a commercial, and then when I come back, who's going to take over?
Scalabino.
No, he's under the weather.
Scalabino is the
Paul, you can take over.
Yeah, but if Paul reads emails and Eric sits there and doesn't talk, it'll be all Andy
all
the time.
Paul's the only true radio professional among us. So.
That's why Eric's got to do the time. All right,
I got to go.
I don't know if you know, but he's worked in TV. He's worked in radio.
I know.
He's done TV. I think it's done, right? You've done TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I got to go. I have meetings. I'll see you later.
For pride, honor, and victory, the time has come to defend our trophy. Superliga 2009, the rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos Laguna, Sunday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. And remember, MLS Futbolito Tournament before the game. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to revolutionsoccer.net.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. AC/DC. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for AC/DC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
You know, you don't want to be so big and stiff, you know, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, you know, more athletic and more lean and, you know, keeping my ability to move.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
And if you don't recognize the moment, it's because it hasn't yet happened. We're going to be
good point, Eric.
We're going to be listening to Richard Seymour, who talked with us yesterday at the Patriots.
Tries not to get too big and stiff.
Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament.
That's what she said.
About an hour away. That's a little bit of a tease. Thank you, Doctor, for that. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The phone number, let's go to the phones. Jim from Texas, what up?
Hey, Alec, my man, how are you feeling today?
Not
loud
good.
Be I here.
Not
yeah,
good, man.
Good. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. I tell you right now, none worse than food poisoning, and it's none you can do except ride it out.
That's what I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Having said all that,
though, is getting weaker and weaker.
Yeah, oh, God, that's not good at all.
Say again, Jim? We lost
you. That's not good at all. That's clearly not good. Can't afford to lose you, Eric. You're the counterweight to Andy. What good is Andy without his foil?
I suppose. Still good.
What good was Ali without Foreman? You need somebody to test you every day. So
I'm Ali,
to...
right? You're a bad man.
I'm the best there ever was.
Moving forward, as far as the rest of it goes,
yeah.
My family came in last week, and I spent the week with them. So but I'm new and improved, energetic, enthused, and ready to roll and surge forward. Here we go, starting off with special teams for the Patriots this year. Where do you think we're at in the return game without Hobbs? There was an article about Wheatley and or Slater being the return guys. What have you seen from them in any of the OTAs or anything like that?
They've gotten reps.
Yeah. What do you think?
I haven't seen anything too impressive from any of them. Okay. I think there's going to be an open competition there, and I think
I agree.
Game action in the preseason will weigh into it heavily.
That's going to be, I think, one of the more tightly contested battles of camp. I agree with all you guys. They have a lot of candidates, but not a lot of guys that have done a lot of it. You know, Wheatley, Butler, some younger guys that haven't really done it
Slater,
at all.
He was the off returner last year.
And then you have a guy like Maroney, who did it as a rookie but hasn't really done it much the last couple of years. I think that's going to be something to really watch during the preseason games, see who's back there getting the reps and see who's productive. Andy's right. I think the guys that do it in game action, I think, are going to get the first crack come the regular season.
I think that's the most underrated weak point of this team, not that we have many. And if I was to quote one of y'all, what was the most imaginary weaknesses this team has? That's one that I'm not overly concerned, but a concern. I would just point this point to you guys and see what you all think. In 2004, when the Red Sox, I know it's baseball, forgive me, but it's an analogy.
No, we don't mind.
Okay. When the 2004 Red Sox brought in Curt Schilling, and the way you saw the way the contracts of that team were structured, they were built for 1 year. They were built to win the 04 series. There was no doubt in my mind, because in 05, I think four or five key components, including Martinez, including Lowe, they left. Including Damon, they all left because they were built for 1 year. I think this team, the 09 Patriots, is really similar to that. They're like, you know what, I'm with Fred on this. Let's just win the thing this year, and if we lose Seymour, if we lose Wilfork, and God forbid Mankins, we're going to probably lose one of them and maybe even two of them. I think it's more likely to believe that two of those three I just mentioned are not Patriots next year. And having said that, if that's the case, let's go and win it this year. What do you think that this new guy, Paris Lennon, brings to the table as a backup special teamer, or even does he make the team?
Well, I think he makes the team, and I think he can be more than a backup/special teamer. I think he's going to vie for playing time on the inside next to Mayo. I think he might be a rotational guy.
They played on a rotten defense that I think you and I, Andy, could have ran for 5 yards of carry against
probably,
the Lions.
And that's why I devalue the whole, you know, 100 tackles the last couple of years and led the team
right.
in tackles. Somebody had to. I mean,
somebody's
Eric got to
make tackles in a situation like that. If they made, how many move them made 7-8 yards
right.
down?
Eric Alexander led the Patriots in tackles against the Colts in the AFC title game a couple of years ago and had the worst game ever.
And how many of them were 7, 8,
right.
10 yards downfield? So I don't really look at tackles. I look at the way I didn't. I can't say that. I'm not going to put my hand up and say, I swear to you, I watched a lot of Lions games. I have not. So does anybody have any game film in this guy?
Yeah, there's game film. And as I said last week, we actually targeted him. We talked about him like 3 years
really?
Ago when he was leaving Green Bay as a free agent, as a guy the Patriots might be interested in to come in and develop into an inside linebacker in their system. He lost a little weight to play in Detroit. I talked to him about his size today.
Yeah.
They wanted him at 230, and he dropped like 10 pounds, and it was a little bit of a struggle, he said, early on. He's now
yeah.
back to the high 230s, which he feels like is his natural weight.
Okay.
But he's not worried about the size. He says he's pretty comfortable taking on guards, and he's very, you know, one thing he kind of not bragged about but said, he's been durable. He hasn't missed games the last couple of years, said he hasn't missed a practice in 5 years.
Hope he didn't just jinx himself.
Yeah, I know. But
well, there you go. Yeah,
I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. I think he could be a contributor on this defense, and I don't want to disregard Teddy Bruschi, but we all know he's lost a little something over the last couple of years, and if you could get some sort of a rotation with Lennon and Guyton more on passing downs, maybe Lennon a little earlier, I think that would be a nice little rotation next to Mayo.
It gives you some depth, too, as well. It gives you options.
Yep.
I kind of like that's what I was looking to hear as far as I love Teddy Bruschi as a person, as a player. I mean, I don't know. Never met the man, but I like a lot of things that he's done for the team. But he's 36. He's the only one of – I think the only player I know of that came back from a stroke – you know, the end is near. I'm saying,
yes.
I've said that the last 2 years, but that's like you and Kevin Falk. You never really know when the last year is. But anyways, guys, nothing but love, guys. You have a great day. Stay the course. Keep your eye on the prize. And
all right, see you, man.
All right, Jim.
He had
Jim
a better one
Texas.
Early in the call that I really liked. I forgot the exact, but one of those like three-word combinations. Where
energized,
like,
enthused.
Yeah, something like that.
Did you guys like your lunch today?
It was
everything
good.
Everything come A-okay?
Yeah. Even some extras thrown in, some mozzarella sticks, that from buffaloes.
Today? Ethan in Delaware. We're going to get to his email right now. He says, hey, guys.
Thank you, my man.
Hey, guys, and Doc. I figured I better get a lunch for you guys in here as I did not, as I did get engaged over the weekend.
Nice.
Congratulations. And we are already looking at houses, so the budget looks to be thin. Toyota Tacoma informs me that Fred is not there. Well, he isn't now. He started off
Don't worry.
Show,
he was here to enjoy your lunch.
Right. So I cannot ask the question about if it is okay to root for your future father-in-law's college football team as long as he ponies up enough for the wedding.
Yes.
I would say, yeah. So I will just
money
ask,
talks.
I will just ask how my boy.
Unless it's like a direct rival of your college football team.
Yeah, like
that,
if he's
that's
a
tough.
Michigan and you're an Ohio State guy.
Right.
That's
tough.
Can't really, yeah.
Depends how nice
that's
the
a deal
wedding
breaker
is.
Right there. That's a deal breaker.
Depends how
I don't
nice
know if
the
it's
wedding
a deal breaker,
is.
But you gotta foster
how
that.
Hot the daughter is.
Well, actually, that's the point.
I mean,
so Ethan
it's
goes
Jessica Alba and
nope, sorry, your dad roots for Ohio State. I'm out.
Ethan says, so I will just ask how my boy Crable looked today and leave it at that. Enjoy the lunch and excellent job. P.S. Andy.
Yes.
The blog entries are great,
uh-oh,
fun, and informative. Why does your writing in the paper suck?
Wow.
Because
Ethan in
my
Delaware.
My personality lends itself more towards blogging and what's the word, Paul?
Tomfoolery?
No, the other word that they use to describe blogs.
Tweeting.
No.
Let's not get him to start talking like that now, Doc.
Twatting.
Stop!
No, that's a whatting. No, that was what.
You just...
No, I just think that's my personality is a little more quick hitters and snarky. That's the word I was
Snark. Thinking. Yes, you're a snark.
Oh,
all right.
How they describe us in general.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They being the guy who writes for our paper in a media column,
right,
who we don't like, but
who
we tends,
to
pay.
Tends to not like us. But, you know, what are you going to do?
We were talking
that's
earlier
you, Bruce,
about Will Fork and the money he might be asking for, and Chris Jenkins' name came up, a bunch of emails about
so they sent us
the exact
details.
Numbers. 5-year, $35 million, $20 million in guaranteed. That's from several different
he was older
people.
And he's also,
unproven.
He's also older and never played that spot.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
He was Julius Peppers coming to the Patriots. Coincidentally, he was a teammate of Julius Peppers.
That's true.
Well,
that's right.
Yeah, I was going to say this, I think the Jenkins switch was even bigger to me, but it's probably similar to Peppers. But I think that the numbers are just going to get bigger as – you know, that was before the Haynesworth contract was signed.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty lucrative contract that Jenkins signed.
Yeah. And Fred kind of shot down his own point before when he was saying that.
You think?
Yeah, but.
You ever argue with Fred before?
That's a good point by you, Paul. Good point by you. We were talking also earlier, thanking Bill from Vail for the jackets. He writes in, Fred, Paul, Andy, Mr. Scalavino, Pillow Biter. What's that all about?
Well,
that's you.
That would be you.
That's mean. Yeah, it's very mean-spirited, especially since I thanked him and complimented him.
That is mean-spirited.
Very
but
mean-spirited.
Bill, we do need to thank you yet again.
Not necessarily inaccurate.
We haven't gone over the top enough today.
What?
To thank you.
What? Is this on?
I'm disappointed in you, Paul.
Is this on?
Disappointed. Anyway.
But
I will,
we should say,
where's
Bill
from?
Again, I want
Vail,
to take the opportunity,
Colorado.
Bill.
What's the name of the resort?
The jackets are excellent. And
Beaver Creek?
Vail and Beaver Creek.
Well, you got much beaver out there,
Doc's
do
Doc's going to get a jacket. Doc, did you read this email already? Doc's going to get a jacket.
Send Eric
this,
out
but
there.
I want to thank Bill again. And Andy wanted Andy. You looked up some stuff.
Right. A lot of beaver in that creek.
All right,
Andy. You wanted to give a special thank you to Bill.
I did. Thank you, Bill.
That was it.
That's.
You well, I asked you to forward me his email so
I
could thank him.
And I didn't have
him.
It. He
and
just
you
sent
didn't forward
an email
it to
in
me.
Today.
I'll do that right now for you, sir.
Anyway,
seriously, though, do you see a lot of beaver out there?
Bill says, "Glad to hear you got the jacket."
What Beaver Creek?
Is that the kind of snark that you're winning
awards with? The paper.
Sorry to have omitted Doc. I'll see what I can do. Oh, that's not even a guarantee. So
yeah,
I'll
he doesn't need one.
Do.
He doesn't bring anything to this show.
Get something for get one for Tamash.
Tamash
if anything.
Deserves
Tamash
one.
Does
he
a lot
the
of
guy
good work
that
here.
Works tirelessly to get us lunch.
Underrated.
And he gets no help from Doc,
especially by his boss.
He just gets kicked to the curb whenever anything fun comes up. Hey, Tamash, you go do the crap, and I'll do the fun stuff.
He gets that lunch here though every day.
Speaking of lunch, Doc, did you get lunch yesterday at the golf tournament?
Yes.
Were you supposed to?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. You got there at 7 a.m.
Anyway,
this
Bill.
This just in. He was there at 7 o'clock.
Bill from Vail continues. Sorry to have omitted Doc. I'll see what I can do. In the meantime, I have another little either or for you. Again,
yes, I like these.
All players have the same experience and are still currently playing. Who would you rather have on your team? So you got that. If these players who aren't necessarily
all
playing.
All things are equal.
All things equal.
They never are, Bill says.
That's true.
Steve Nelson or Gerard Mayo?
Gerard Mayo.
Steve Nelson.
I'm torn here. I'm going to give the nod to Mayo just for the upside.
I'm going, but all things are equal. So we're at the same stage in their career.
All right. I'm still going with Mayo.
So you think that Mayo will be a better player than Steve Nelson was?
Yes.
Okay, I don't.
And I think Nelson was a great player.
And Nelson's also a great co-host of mine, so I have to take care of him.
Oh, that's understandable. Terry Glenn or Randy Moss?
Terry Glenn. Moss.
I'm with Moss.
I mean Randy Moss.
Moss. So we're unanimous.
I was almost fell off my chair on that.
Yeah,
one.
I misspoke. Because I don't even think there's an argument.
No, I think Randy Moss is a whole different level.
Absolutely. Craig James, Lawrence Maroney.
Craig James. He did it.
Craig James, but
I'd have to go with James too, just because we
the
know
only him. Difference between those two players is one of those guys stayed healthy for 1 year.
But he did it.
I know. That's why I went with James.
Foolish one, but I'll read it anyway. Scalavino or Boy George?
Boy George.
You're a punk, Andy.
Scalavino.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. You made up nicely for that. You made up nicely. And finally, Ty Law, Rod Woodson.
Rod Woodson. I love Ty Law, though. That's a hard
one. I'm going to go with Ty Law.
I like him.
I'm going to go with Ty Law.
I think Rod Woodson was a better athlete than Ty Law.
Bonus question from Bill and Vale. If you could have any coach quarterback combo in the history of the league to replace Belichick and Brady,
no, Fred's
who would
out.
It be?
Fred couldn't answer this question. Quarterback coach combo other than
Bill to replace Brady and Belichick.
Well, I'm going
to
go with Peyton Manning and anybody.
I'm going to go with Bill Walsh, Joe Montana.
Oh, I suppose we're going all time. That's a very good one.
Did Don Shula coach Johnny Unitas? They cross paths at all?
I believe Super Bowl III. Right? Wasn't
yes,
that?
That's
was,
my pick, then.
He was the backup.
That's my pick, then.
He was the backup in Super Bowl III.
Right?
He came in.
He came in at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, I would go with Eric. I think Eric's is the best. Bill Walsh, Joe Montana. Currently, I would go. I would probably go
Manning
with
and whoever the new coach is.
Jim Caldwell.
I like Jeff. I've always liked Jeff Fisher as a coach.
Oh, I wouldn't take Terry Collins though.
No.
Jeff. I would Peyton Manning and Jeff Fisher. I would go with
just change the game.
Yeah.
Oh, it has to be the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't go.
The rules along the way.
I didn't know it said. I didn't read. I didn't hear that part where they had to.
Well,
be the same team.
I don't think he said that, but I think you would have to assume that that's what he's talking about.
I didn't make that assumption. I'm sorry. I can't go with Jim Caldwell. The guy's never coached a game. Whew, that's a tough one. Then, if we have to go with guys that are in the game today, who would you go with in
How about
today's
Shula,
NFL?
Shula Marino.
In today's NFL,
I'm being
who would
kind
we go
of
with?
Serious. Manning, because I mean, I'm not taking Rivers and Norv Turner. I'm not taking Breeze and Sean Payton. I'm not taking, I mean, try to go down the list of who the perceived, Roethlisberger and Tomlin, but I don't like Tomlin. So I'd take Manning and Caldwell.
Manning is just that much better to me than anybody
right.
else that I would have to
And
take
I don't
Caldwell.
Know Caldwell stinks.
No, I don't.
You know, he might be average to good, and if that's more than enough. So it's unlikely that he's going to do enough to tear down Peyton Manning. Right?
Yeah. That's sound reasoning.
Because there's just not a lot of duos that I feel good about both halves.
Sean Hill and Mike Singletary.
Oh, God. last point from Bill. He says, I've heard you guys on recent shows doing an over-under that included Brady and Belichick's 10 years here. How long do you guys actually think they'll both be around, respectively? Brady, I'll say less than 5 years.
I'll say six.
I would
and
concur
Belichick,
with Eric. Brady, less than 5 years.
Belichick
I think.
Eight. Why are you shaking your head?
I'll
shake your bleeping head.
Because you go nine, no eight.
Well, I figured 2 years after Brady's gone, he'll realize this isn't a lot of fun anymore and he'll back out.
Yeah.
So I went
less,
six and eight.
Less than eight for Belichick.
Eric's big on less than.
I'm going to say 10 years for Belichick.
10 years for Bill? All right.
That puts him in his mid-60s?
Yes.
Mid to late 60s? Yeah,
yep,
that's, about, that's about enough.
Web radio at patriots.com. The email, 508-543-7482, the phone number. Rasmus in Denmark. Might be a first-timer here. Hi, girls and Eric. Good one. I just tuned in, so don't really know what you've been talking about, but I'll just ask you anyways. I read
Love
from
these. Good one.
I read from Mike Reese that Gerard Mayo once again was not at practice. Do you have any updates on why?
Why don't you read it from Andy Hart?
Hart from the Hart. Did you post that already? Is that up there?
Oh, that's been up there for hours.
We normally beat Mike Reese to everything. Like yesterday, if you tune into us on the blog at 11:15, you would have known Wilfork was there. And then 11:45, if you go to Reese, you would have found out he was there.
Not that you
half hour earlier. Not that I'm keeping track or anything.
So, wants to know, Mayo, is he injured or something? By the way, has anything from Antonio Appleby gotten your attention during practice?
No.
I really like his physical tools, and he does have experience in the system. Thanks for a great show. Keep it up. Rasmus.
I agree with that, and that's all I got.
I can't even give you that. I don't know anything about Antonio Appleby.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything to stick out so far. I mean,
of course. Unfortunately, the defensive players and linebackers always work out some 80 yards from where we're allowed to watch.
We cannot see a thing with personnel groups or anything in terms of what they're doing defensively for the whole practice.
Fred would go, wah!
No, defensively for the whole practice. This is why fans hate you. I see, but I would think the fans would want us to be able to relay our thoughts on what's going on. It's not bitching about anything. It's
hot.
You're trying to watch practice and you can't. I think the fans, especially on the OTAs where they're not allowed, they don't need us in training camp because they can come. They can see anything that they want to see. But during the OTAs that they're close to the media, I think that they would like our opinions, and unfortunately we can't give them because we can't see.
I mean, we have binoculars, but it's hard, like if they're in 7-on-7 or 11-on-11 and you want to focus on the entire field and see how the play develops, it's hard to do that from that far away, even with the binoculars. Let's go back to the phone. John from Dallas. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up? Hey, John.
Good, good. Hey. Hey, quick question, a couple questions for you, actually. I was looking into buying some sports memorabilia this weekend, and I saw a Tom Brady jersey here in Dallas for about $2,000.
Oh, $2,000?
Autographed jersey.
Lord.
It was autographed?
It was autographed. It was authentic. You know, they had an authentic, you know, some type of certificate or something about authenticity. I don't think it was a jersey he wore in any significant game. It was just, you know, off-the-shelf jersey with a Tom Brady signature on it. What are they running for up in New England? Any idea?
I haven't been
in the pro shop.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on the memorabilia.
That sounds like a lot of money.
What was crazy was, they also had some helmets, right? They had a Patriots helmet, Tom Brady signature on it. They had a Joe Montana helmet. They had a Peyton Manning helmet, and Brady's was the most expensive.
Wow.
Which I thought was kind of odd, more than Montana. So, I don't know. I just wanted to get a sense for if I was overpaying for it or what. But
I got to tell you, if you give me $2,000, I might be able to get a jersey signed by him and pocket about $1,700. We need to start a business here.
$2,000? It's a deal if you can give me a Super Bowl jersey from this year. How's
Holy.
That?
That's unbelievable.
If we can get a Super Bowl jersey for you?
Yeah, for this upcoming year.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I'll get on that.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate all the great analysis on the blog site, guys.
Hey, well, thank you.
Andy's doing a great job. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, you guys talked a lot about defense. What about the safety position? I didn't see any much analysis on that.
Yeah, there wasn't much analysis on that today. The one thing, McGowan wasn't out there, and we were kind of praising him last week because he seemed like he was getting all these reps in a few different spots and sub packages, but he was one of the missing today. But I don't know, nothing stood out for me today from watching out there.
Yeah, I know it's way too early to tell, but
plus it's another one of those things where Merriweather's not out there, so if you see Chung getting reps, is it cuz Chung is, you know, the smart guy that Bill talked about on draft weekend, or is it simply because Merriweather's not out there?
Yeah.
So it's hard to kind of evaluate that. I mean, I wrote a little thing about Tank Williams when they broke into positional work, went with the linebackers and then was kind of doing his hybrid stuff. So that's obviously a little bit noteworthy, but theoretically the top 3 safeties are Sanders, Merriweather, and Chung, and one of them is not out there, so seeing how the reps are breaking down there is hard to do at this point.
Yeah, this is like one of the most exciting off seasons that I can remember. I mean, there's just so much competition at all these positions.
I agree.
You guys think there's any possibility that Merriweather or Sanders or both could not start?
No, I think one of them, at least one of them, will start.
Well, to start the year, I'd be stunned if they didn't start.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked to see Chung work his way into the lineup later on.
Either one of them, I wouldn't be surprised, but I agree with Eric. Both
and it
of
might
them,
be situation.
Chances of both of them not starting, I would think one of those two would have to be a starter.
Oh, yeah. Both of them. Well, who else would start?
Chung later on.
Chung and someone
no,
else.
No, but for both of them to not start, Chung and McGowan are going to be your starting safeties. I would
don't
be
think so.
No chance.
By the way, though, I'm very excited for them to put the pads on because I want to see Patrick Chung level somebody. It's been at the tip of his tongue this entire offseason that he, you know, because they're not wearing pads and they can't hit anybody, but he comes very close, and I can't wait to see what his hitting is like for real when they have the pads
or see
on
him try to lay out a tight end and get run the bleep over.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I want to see what happens. I mean, he's known for his style.
Better not lay a finger on Moss, Welk, or Galloway.
He won't lay a finger on Moss, I can guarantee you that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't think that's good for job security.
No.
No. I'll come up there and put a helmet on myself if that's the case.
They're going to have
one of those,
you know,
$2,000 helmets you're about to buy?
Exactly.
John, you brought up all the competition, and there's a ton of
lunch?
It. There's a ton of it on offense, too, and virtually at every spot. You know,
but the fun part is it's competition for a good team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad teams that have a lot of competition. Oh, who's going to start here, there, and everywhere? Oh, who cares? They're going to win four games. But you're talking about the dominant team of the decade who's fighting for another Super Bowl title.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's good competition at a few different spots.
I agree. You know, you have running back and tight end. To me, there's three, four different guys that could be the key player at that spot.
Intriguing talent throughout. A lot of good stuff to watch in training camp.
And now you've got Patrick Pass reintroduced. This kind of boggled my mind why they brought him back in.
Yeah, I think they were, you know, they lost Heath Evans, and that's basically the role that Pass played when he was here last time. Fullback, occasional ball carrier,
special teams
guy. He has some experience returning kicks, also in coverage units. So he's got the ability to do that in several different areas. I don't know what his chances are of actually sticking this time around. He's
31.
He's, you know, he'll be 32 at the end of this year. But
Andy has placed it at 35%.
Okay.
65-35 that he doesn't make it at this point.
Okay, I'll take that.
Okay, my last question, I guess.
Sure.
Or comment. A couple times in the blogs, I think you guys were talking about some of the positional groupings at cornerback and who was out in the field. And a couple of times I think you had mentioned that Will Hite was actually on the field before Butler or Wheatley. Is he that much better? I mean, do you see him as the third cornerback?
I don't see a one and a two yet.
Yeah, I have no
idea. Well, I mean, if you assume Bowden and Springs, what do you think? Or Bowden and Springs?
I'm not ready yet. I think Bowden's going to be in the top two. I'm pretty confident about that fact. I don't know one, two, and three yet. But I do think Will Hite starts the year ahead of those guys. I mean, starting the year training camp-wise, ahead of those guys because he finished a year ahead of those guys. He was on the roster. Mm-hmm. He played. He was ahead of Wheatley last year. Bill talked about how much more NFL-ready he was in terms of his technique and from working with Muschamp at Auburn and all that stuff. So I think he's ahead until he gets passed by one of those guys.
Yeah, I thought Wheatley last summer was better than Will Hite, but Andy's exactly right. Will Hite got a chance to play all year, and Wheatley didn't.
Right.
So right now, Will Hite's got to be ahead of Wheatley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
All right, John.
Thanks, guys.
And if you're looking to spend money, feel free to send lunch. It will not cost you $2,000 like that jersey.
Oh, you could buy lunch for the whole year for that.
$2,000. You know what Deidre would do to me if I came home? Hey, look what I bought, a $2,000 jersey. I mean, I thought it was a lot of money when I spent $110 on the Bo Jackson autographed jersey, and the guy's the greatest athlete that's ever walked the planet.
Josh from Arlington, former PFW emailer of the week, May 6, 2007. Just wrote in about that. He said an autographed authentic Brewski jersey sells for $600 at the Pats Pro Shop. $2,000 is too much for a Brady jersey.
Well, using that
$600?
Yeah.
But
according to Josh.
Wow, I am way out of the loop in this memorabilia stuff.
But wait a minute, using that as my comparison, I think
$2,000 to me is right in the neighborhood.
Right. Cuz he's certainly three times the player.
Brewski,
he's a Hall of Fame
to Brady?
Two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback. Yeah.
That's no disrespect to Brewski, but Brady is an immortal. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. That's going to be worth something. Brewski's shirt is never going to be more valuable than it is right now.
If that's the standard, $600 for a Brewski, then the $2,000, I guess, really isn't out of the question.
But it just sounds I'm way out
of the loop on
I mean, $600 for
economy,
a Brewski sounds like a
I got to think, in this economy,
that's what
you walk into that store with, like,
1400 cash, slap it on the counter, say, I want that jersey. I got to think they'll give it to you.
You know, I'll if I can think of it, too, I'm going to try to I was just recently at a charity event where there was some framed autographed game jerseys. Mm-hmm. Now, there were Philadelphia Eagles jerseys. One was Donovan McNabb and one was Brian Westbrook. But two very prominent players. I'm going to try to figure out, and it might not be apples to apples because I don't know how much the market in New England for those players was compared to what it would be for Brady. But John is in Dallas. So
Right. It's not a Romo jersey in Dallas. It's a Brady jersey.
So it's not as much off as you might think. I'll try to see if I can figure out what those shirts fetched at a silent auction because those were the big ticket items at the auction that I was just part of.
How'd that go for you?
No, it was good. We have I like to throw you guys in this because I make you do it too.
The royal we.
There is a gentleman who's going to be with us during training camp for a day. That was something
like last year
that the Patriots donated was a day at Patriots training camp, and also, what did you just say?
I said, how much you paying him?
I don't know why, but people seem to find us interesting, and they want to come and see what we
do. Who's the girl on the show with the cleavage that's showing?
I don't know. I call her smoking.
I don't know, but this is radio.
If Fred, as the normal host, can reference Alyssa Milano, she's hot. I never seen her before. Then we should be able to mention this girl who is hotter, and I don't know who she is.
Sweet.
What?
Aren't you doing that roto thing?
Oh.
Sweet.
I mean, this girl has been walking around in a black bra for going on 45
minutes.
This
is that charm
show, now.
Right?
It's that witch's charm show.
Yeah, see? All right, back to the email. Sarah from Iowa, who we haven't heard from in a while. Hey, guys, just wanted to say that.
Sarah. They sound hot.
Just wanted to say that the songs and poems that people send in are very creative and entertaining. I sit here listening to the podcast, however, and picture guys sitting at home, listening to NFL broadcasts, and writing poems.
Yep.
And it seems a little weird to me. In fact, to steal a line from Paul, I can sum it up in four words. Gayo. Sarah from Iowa. Well done, Sarah.
Although, well done. Who would be more less thought of? Guys writing poems about this show or feminine listeners? Or female
guys
listeners.
Writing poems about this show?
I'm not so sure.
Come on.
I'm not so sure.
Have you seen some of our female listeners? They pretty good now.
No, but I'm saying, in a general, a woman that you find out listens to a web radio show about the Patriots.
Wouldn't that make you want her even more if you're a Patriots fan or a football fan?
No, I might think rugby player.
Yeah, but if you saw the pictures of some of these girls that have sent us pictures.
But I've never seen a picture of you, Sarah. Hint, hint.
Well played there. Yeah. Do we have any of those
lingerie
today?
Is fine.
Doc? Nothing? No MP3s or anything fun?
MP3, yes. Pictures, no.
There'll be nothing fun with you hosting.
Have you screened the MP3 yet? Do you want to do that now?
He doesn't screen them. I don't know if
who do we got today?
The last two.
Yeah.
As inappropriate as anything ever said. And he's the guy that puts inappropriate stuff on the air.
All right, let's hear from him.
This one's not relax.
You said that about the last few.
The last one was more over the line. No, the first one wasn't that bad.
Wasn't the first one about the refrigerator and how was the refrigerator
All right, then.
The freezer.
That is as vulgar and inappropriate a thing as ever said on this program.
Indeed.
You've said worse.
No, I have not.
Well, Fred you did use the F word, didn't you?
This was graphic, disgusting.
Fred said worse the last show.
Fred did say worse the last show.
Remember that Urban Dictionary bit?
Yeah, that fell on by the wayside.
Yeah.
Kind of like everything else when Gary left.
All the other creativity?
All right. This is a cleaned up. Is this a cleaned up
hurt.
Stevie H? All right, let's hear from him.
Hey, my able-bodied brethren. Firstly, let me apologize for the crassness of my MP3s of late. I will endeavor to keep this one as clean as humanly, or should I say cyborgly possible. Anywho, I was playing wheelchair rugby the other day with a few of my bros, when a rather heated argument started. I thought we should trade Adalus Thomas as he has good trade value. They thought he should stay with the team. Suffice to say, a lot of motorized shoving ensued, and the ref had to bring in a forklift truck to break us up. So what are your thoughts? Great Adalus Thomas? Also, I heard that the Patriots are considering trading Lawrence Maroney to the Bengals for their mascot Scooter. Is this true? I think it's a good grade so long as the scooter has a warranty and comes with a full tank. Stevie H. out.
And no
inappropriate, get rid of the jokes. Clean them up a tad.
Well, that's a good start for him. Not including one at all is good.
No, I missed the jokes.
Out.
What about his question?
Motorized pushing and shoving.
What about his question? Adalys Thomas trade?
Hell
tradable?
No.
I don't think so either.
Well,
I
mean, I'm sure he's tradable, but
yeah, but I mean, realistically, this
we're already
year,
talking about the hole at outside linebacker, yeah,
right? That's why I don't think
he's tradable
it's
right
happen.
Now. You know, as much as you know, definitive no is applicable to the Patriots. I mean, we all know that.
Well, this is pretty definitive.
Anybody can come and go except for Brady.
He wasn't out on the field, by the way.
I don't think maybe he got traded. I don't think
that would be funny.
I don't think you could trade him. I just don't think you could.
I don't know. Seymour seems pretty high on Crable and Woods. Maybe you unload the salary now while you can.
He even threw Vince Red in there.
He did.
I mean, he's long.
That was charity.
I mean, he's long.
Yeah, you're down
to get
on
with his,
Red, aren't you?
What was it? Stiff and what?
Stiff.
You want to
big,
get stiff
big
and hard,
stiff.
Big and stiff.
Something
like that. It wasn't my greatest moment in PFW and Progress history. It was Richard Seymour's.
The autographed merchandise is getting some run here. We just got a link sent to us from Brian in Baltimore who says it's an authentic Brady jersey, signed. You can buy it online, not even for $1,000. It's eight. What is it? Hold on a second. The internet's slow here. This link's trying to open up. It's like $879.
On what?
What is the name of this site? It's. Internet
identitytheft.com.
Joe's memorabilia
shop. Sportsmemorabilia.com.
Okay.
So yeah, I thought the tooth, but now the 600 sounds really high. If you can get him for eight,
don't want to get myself in trouble, but not surprised by that.
Computer's freezing up here, doctor.
Oh, good.
Oh, son of a.
All right then, Adalys Thomas, Andy. I don't see how you can get by without him.
God no. I mean, it would have been what we saw today, which was all. Crable and Woods all the time.
How about TBC?
What about him?
How does he factor into this?
Doesn't.
Wow, no love at all for Tully. How about you, Paul?
Andy's a big fan of Tully.
I love him, but as I said 6 years ago or whenever it was in the...
Still waiting to see some big plays.
Elbow me when he makes a play.
Then he walked by him in the locker room and elbowed him. One of my funniest moments.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't elbow him. He elbowed me.
Tully elbowed
me. Go around elbowing players.
I wouldn't put it past you.
That's not good for job security either. You know, I put you in that seat because you were the true professional. You've done radio. You've done
television. He sucks. The internet crashed. I had to reboot, and I have to get the emails back up.
Shocking as it seems, Eric sucks.
And it's not his fault.
Shut up, idiot.
Oh, you know what? The food poisoning's really kicking in now, too.
What do you mean? He's always an angry little man. The emailers in SPFW pointed it out a number of times this
week.
They
did, you know. There were a lot of emails this
last
past week
last
saying
week's
how
SPFW?
Angry you were.
I had a little bit of an edge on that one. I'm not going to deny that. I had a little bit of an edge.
You about that. You can't be alienating the listeners the way you do.
I don't always.
They hate you enough as it is.
Craig from Boxborough. Hey,
they
guys.
Hate all of us enough.
Just want to let the guy thinking about buying the autographed Brady jersey know that price seems a little high. A grand would be about right. And as far as Brady being more expensive than Montana or Manning, it's because both Manning and Montana sign more often. Also, any Brady stuff you're planning to buy should be TriStar authenticated or it isn't Brady.
That's what I got with my Bo Jackson one, TriStar.
Unless it has recently changed, Brady is or was exclusive through TriStar. I used to work in a memorabilia store, so that's the insight I can provide. Craig in Boxborough. P.S. Don't go by Pro Shop prices. They have an extremely high markup.
Ken. Thus, my don't want to get myself in
Ken,
trouble.
Ken, do you want to address that accusation?
I don't think
Ken
that's...
Flanders. Hi.
Pretty sure you can guarantee, though, you buy it in the Patriots Pro Shop. It's Teddy Bruschi signed.
Maybe.
If you guys
didn't want to get you in trouble, now you're saying they're selling forgeries in the Pro Shop, Paul? Anything you want to discuss here?
Probably now you could probably be pretty safe.
You guys hear about that...
What's he talking about?
D lineman from Kentucky who's going to...
Jamin?
Yeah,
or Jermon or something?
Jeremy Jarman.
Yeah.
He's going to enter the supplemental draft.
Yeah, Andy's a big fan.
What did he test? He tested positive for
supplement.
Something.
Diet
but he wouldn't say. He told
are
the
you
league,
people on dope?
He told the league what it was, but...
He told all the teams,
yeah.
It's a diet supplement. It's
right.
Widely reported as a diet supplement he bought over the counter at GNC.
Taz from
Rich
Toronto.
Brooks was on board with it, so...
Taz from Toronto wants to know about him. He says, hey, boys, wondering if you think the Patriots would be interested in... University of Kentucky All-Southeast Conference defensive end Jeremy Jarman, who is going to be available for the supplemental draft since he was declared ineligible for a senior year due to testing positive for a banned substance. He's 6'3", 250. Maybe it could
That's
be switched.
Funny. I read 6'3", 265.
Did you?
And as I told the SPFW people, generally when they're 6'3", by the time they're at the combine, they're 6'2".
Oh, yeah. There's a big drop.
You lose an inch. So
at least.
My guess is he's not exactly the ideal prototype for the position that people
outside linebacker.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a DN for them, so he's a conversion,
yep.
And he might be a slightly short conversion. Now, you might get value. Maybe Bill submits a sixth-round bid on him, and no one else takes him, and you get him. But he would clearly be a little bit of a project. But he's been successful for them. He's a good player.
What round did you just say?
I threw sixth out there.
Sixth?
Also, Taz says...
I guess he was told third to fifth had he come out, was sort of his grade by that committee.
So they get him for a little bit of a steal. And
well, generally that's how it is. Like, you get him a little lower than whatever their mm-hmm. perceived value would be. So, sure, I'd submit a sixth on him, take a flyer. But then you're getting him so late. It's July 16th, I think, is that?
Not so sure the exact date.
You're getting him, like, right to start training camp. He's behind.
Right.
He'd be even more of a developmental guy. I mean, he'd have a lost year, sort of.
Taz continues, how does the supplemental draft work, and do the Patriots have any picks in it?
Everybody has picks because you submit where you would take a guy, and it goes by last year's record draft order. So if the Patriots say they'd take him in the sixth round, but the Raiders say they'll take him in the sixth round, the Raiders get him. But if the Raiders go seven and the Patriots go six and the Patriots get him. It's like a sealed bid process.
Now, so they go down the draft order. So like the team that would pick first in the round would get first dibs on where they would want to take this player.
Yeah, everybody just sends the league an envelope that says where they would be willing to take him. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of teams probably say, no, I don't want to submit a bid on him. But you bid on him based on round, and then they see who has the highest bid. It's kind of like one of those auctions, foreclosures. They're foreclosing mm-hmm. on Jarman. Is it Jarman or what is it?
It's Jeremy. It's J-A-R-M-O-N.
Jarman.
So we have to...
Jarman.
Jarman.
Also, Taz wants to know what Edelman's been doing and how did he do today since he hasn't heard of him in a week or so. Thanks, and keep up the excellent work, boys.
He's hopping at the line of scrimmage.
He's learning a new position, okay? He's going to have to be a wide receiver, and he's got a ton to learn. I think that from what I've been reading, I would say that there is far too much concern about Julian Edelman right now than there should be. I think that he is a developmental guy who has got light years to go. He's not a wide receiver yet, and he's going to have to figure out, the Patriots are going to have to figure out if he's worth, the project of transforming him to that spot. It seems like every single guy that writes about these practices, he's included in there. I haven't seen him do much on the field, and that's not a disrespect for him. It's, he's, eight? On the depth chart right now, I mean, six, seven, eight. There's a lot of guys that we're seeing run most of the reps. You know, Moss,
right.
Welker, Lewis, Galloway, Aiken, and even some of these other guys that we don't know a lot about, that have been training camp fodder, Ortiz.
Ortiz.
Before you get down to Julian Edelman. I mean, there's a long way you have to go. So I think there's some versatility there that they might want to, explore and see how it pans out on the practice squad maybe. But I would be stunned if he is part of the plan at all for 2009.
Think he makes the team?
No.
No.
Well, we know you're biased against him, Andy.
Why am I biased? I'm biasing against him, totally on talent.
I wrote the kid's draft profile. I talked to his coach who had nothing but glowing things to say about him. I think he's a versatile guy, but I think when you're an undersized seventh-round draft pick and you're completely changing positions, that's a lot of checks in the negative
from quarterback
side.
To anything.
You know, that's
There's
a lot
big
of
difference there than running back to wide receiver.
Totally agree.
He's making it to running back too. They've had him take reps at running back, and
he seems like he's got
things.
Decent skills, decent hands for the position.
Yeah, he's a decent athlete.
If there's one thing, and to be fair, it has been rainy almost every OTA we've been to. He's had some trouble staying on his feet when he comes out of his breaks.
Yeah, and he's not been alone. You're right. That's not unfair to him. He's not been alone. He has been slipping a lot, but we've seen some of the other receivers doing that too.
Sure.
Supposed to have a low center of gravity. He doesn't.
But it is I feel like everybody is writing a lot about this guy, and I'm wondering where it's coming from. I'm wondering if we're missing something.
I think because they're all intrigued about the Wildcat possibilities, and he was drafted ostensibly to be that person when, you know, Pat White wasn't available, and when who was the other guy in this year's draft? There were Wildcat guys in this year's draft.
I would look at that.
Tarvin was taken by Minnesota. The Rice kid, the tight end.
Casey.
Yeah. They were all gone by the time New England wanted probably to get somebody like that, and then they get Edelman in the seventh round.
I would look at that if they really wanted him to do some of that stuff, it would be at least a year from now, not now.
Oh, yeah.
Number one.
He has to be on the roster to be able to use him for that.
Right.
He has to have other value because you're not keeping him just to do that.
Number two, I'm not sure that he's a good candidate for that stuff. I don't think he's dynamic enough. I think you need a guy that's a game-breaking type player to run that.
Well, my problem with him. Measurables, he has all the quickness and speed you want. I just don't see it playing out on the football field based on 3-point-something averages in college, and when I watch him on the field, he just doesn't look like he plays to those numbers, kind of like Chad Jackson.
He's not that fast. I mean, he's fast. He was really fast to me for a quarter. I mean, he's like 4.5,
right? Right.
I think he was a 4.5 at the combine.
But and quickness is supposed to be his thing.
He's not a great passer.
He's quick, but he doesn't use it well.
He's learning, and I think that sometimes when you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, you might lose a little of that quickness and
speed. No, but I'm talking about
you don't see
when
it.
He catches it and he's 7 yards downfield. There's no more learning involved. You ran the route, you have the ball.
Listen,
an athlete. Come on.
Come on, Jeff.
Jurassic Polk.
Come on. Jeff Polk.
Ned Burke. Where are they now? I don't know.
Both out of the league.
A lot of people are getting excited. Matt Light talked a little bit after OTA today about the new additions on offense and making comparisons to the 07 team and this team this year. And Light talked a little bit about that, about, you know, it's hard to tell right now because there's, you know, no hitting, no pads. It's, you know, when you get into training camp and preseason, it's easier to tell. But Nathan in Southern California is interested in this topic. He says, "Hey, guys, thought I'd ask your opinion about if you think the Patriots of today are similar to the 2007 Patriots. What areas do you think they would differ, and are they worse or better than 07? Again, it's kind of...
Are we talking strictly offensively?
I think he is.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that they are...
probably a little bit better at wide receiver.
I think they can be.
Yeah, I think that remains to be seen.
I mean, I will say that they're better because I think Moss and Welker are better today, 2 years in, you know, 2 years in
the system.
Because
they know the system better, sure.
But they might lose whatever amount better they are, they might lose with Brady's health and, you know, maybe rust that he's going to have at least at the beginning of the season. But I think that element can be better than 07. I think the running back situation could be better than 07.
I agree.
You know,
with that
the tight
too.
End situation, definitely. I think, could be better than 07. I would say they're better on paper.
But that doesn't mean they're going to have better numbers.
Exactly.
That's, I mean, 589 points is
they
an
set how
lot.
Many league records and team records that year?
And I was talking to
a couple dozen.
I was talking to someone in personnel yesterday, and on the coaching side, and he said, you know, think about all the different ways we scored, too, in 07. Remember all the guys that scored touchdowns? What do we have, like 21 different guys scored touchdowns? Something like silly like that. We scored a lot of defensive touchdowns, a lot of different ways they scored touchdowns. And you could be every bit as dangerous offensively as you were in 07 and not score that amount of points easily. You know, it's just like sometimes you see a team that gets better, and all of a sudden they win a couple of wild games, you know, where, you know, they're doing this, they're doing that at the end of the game where they're pulling some games out. And then you could say, well, they went 11-5 that year. They might not be 11-5 the following year, but they'll probably be a better team because they're developing.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a better offense in 09 than they were in 07, but I agree with Andy. To ask them to score that amount, you know, and set another record 2 years later, that's asking an awful lot.
That said, they lined up in a trips formation today with Moss, Galloway, and Welker, and I said to Paul, good luck defending that fellow defensive backs throughout the league. I mean, that's
with those tight
deep
ends
threats and the best underneath threat in the game.
And a tight end on the other side who, by the way, on that play, snuck out wide open in the corner. It was a red zone play from about the 15, and Baker was wide open in the other corner. And, you know, unfortunately, the pass was a little overthrown. That was the play I said to you. I needed that to be connected for the little thing that I was writing about today. But Andy's right. What do you pick your poison with?
Yeah.
With
you have to be fundamentally on point, and your communication has to be perfect, because first of all, covering that kind of stuff is hard as it is because they run under each other, over each other, picks and all that. But, I mean, if you're a step behind Joey Galloway or Randy Moss,
see ya.
That's the game.
That's
tonight,
where
folks.
I would
Thanks
say
for coming.
When I say that,
and then
I don't
if you cover those
score...
two, you get Welker doing his little dancing around underneath.
Yeah.
When I said that, I don't think they'll score as much. That's probably what I'm thinking about is, and I don't want to call them easy touchdowns because they're not easy. But the Patriots had a lot of easy touchdowns in 07 mm-hmm. where they just went deep to Randy
right.
and bang. You know, I don't think you know, and we saw it that year. As we got about midway through the season, those really declined.
Oh, yeah.
I would be surprised if as many teams allowed him to get deep as they did in 07.
They're going to pay for it, though. It would you would think if you take that away, like you said, you got little Welker running around over the middle. You've
yeah,
got Joey Galloway
is,
on the other side.
So instead of taking it three plays to score, it's taking
it's
you 10
taking
or 12.
Bit, sure.
And therefore the
or
time is running.
Or it's taking one to Galloway
so
on the other drive side.
Times,
no, but I'm saying,
the drive
I'm
times
thinking,
are long.
There's only so many safeties to go around, Paul.
I'm thinking they're going to do a better job now that they know how this team is going to run.
Right.
As they did about halfway through the season.
Now
a
that,
better job of taking away the one hit, you know, bang, home run ball.
But I think Eric and I are saying Galloway could be a one hit wonder on the
but
other
I,
side.
I'd be surprised if he you know, hits a lot of home runs.
In 07, it...
Then I don't think the offense will be as good, because I think he has to hit those for him to be a more productive stalwart.
In 07, it took till about the Eagles game, which was, what, mid-November, late November?
Yeah.
Before teams finally kind of figured out how to stop that Patriots offense, or at least slow them down mm-hmm. a little bit more. They weren't scoring as much after that. I think the potential exists for that to happen again this year, that they'll start the season off with... You know, teams maybe not knowing what to do, but do you guys think it'll take as long for teams
no.
to figure out how
no,
to
I
stop
don't,
them?
I don't think it,
I think
well,
it'll be week one.
I don't think that,
or slow
I
them
think
down,
that
year
least.
They benefited from the unknown. Everybody assumed they were going to yeah. take a month to get on the same page, and they come out slinging it.
Right.
And scoring 40, what was it, 42 each of the first, 38.
And Randy Moss didn't
month.
Play all of preseason. So, no one knew about his legs. And all of a
I
sudden,
think they have plenty of tape
deep.
On this offense, whether it's Galloway or Stallworth. Lined up with Welker and Moss, it's still the Welker and Moss show. Mm. There's a lot of tape out there. Now the Patriots, I'm sure, have new wrinkles. They're going to be doing different things to try to, you know, confuse and take advantage of mismatches and decoy and all that crap. But there's enough of a book out there that I don't think it'll come as easily as it did early in that year.
After scoring 34 or more points in each of the first eight games, the Patriots then only did so, what, three times in the last eight. And in the last six, only once. And that was the last
game
of the year.
That was the Giants game.
So, you know, about halfway through the year, it changed.
Yeah. Part of that, too, is though when we did the thing on Moss's career late
Weather,
in the year, he's always
all kinds
down.
Of stuff. Yep. Absolutely. All kinds of reasons. But, you know, 24, then they had the 56 game at Buffalo after the bye. And then it was 31, 27, 34, 20, 28. I mean, still high-scoring games, but it was a little bit lower as you went on in the season. And... Even though, I mean, anybody would be great. 28 points, you're going to win your share of NFL games scoring
yeah,
28,
you
31.
Your
you're going to win.
Is just a deplorable.
But, it went from 38 and 45 and 52 to 28 and 31 and 34. So there was a little bit of a difference there. There was a little bit of a drop-off.
We should tell the Moss tale of the day, and it does not involve Brady yelling Randolph, even though he clearly likes to call him Randolph now in practice.
I like that. That's funny.
But Moss caught a crossing pattern back line of the end zone
oh, yes.
from
yeah.
Matt Gutierrez, at which point he took a couple more strides and tried to dunk the ball over the upright. Unfortunately,
didn't
he,
get high
like Paul Perlow and Andy Hart, didn't get high enough and was rejected by the crossbar, to which he was heckled by his teammates, yeah. deservedly so.
Unlike Paul Perlow, though, he got pinned on the crossbar, and there's no way I would have gotten anywhere near the crossbar.
That's one of those things. If you're going to do it on a rainy practice field, you probably should know you're going to get up.
Well, but, you know, he's a phenomenal athlete, you know. He probably just assumed that...
Or maybe he used to do it pretty easily, and it doesn't come quite as easy at it. What is he, 34?
Two?
I don't know.
He's up. He's around there.
I just thought it was funny.
Would Paul just leave us?
And then he dropped the next pass and continued to get heckled by his teammates.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I thought he had a very good practice.
Nathan, good player now. Nathan's final question for us. Which of the following teams, do you think may give the Patriots a difficult time this season?
32.
Titans, Bucks, Saints, Jets, Ravens, or Panthers? Titans, Jets, Saints.
Panthers.
Bucks, Ravens, Panthers.
Panthers or Saints? Saints, depending on how this defense comes together in the secondary, because we know they're going to throw the ball all over the field.
Yep.
And I'm still a believer that Carolina's a talented team. They have the two-headed monster at running back. Steve Smith's a tough matchup on the outside. DeLome, they have a decent quarterback, good offensive line. You know, so I think they're going to be a decent football team. So I would go with them.
Did you hear about the that I think he's a rookie free agent wide receiver for Carolina? I when I saw the name, I thought if Andy sees this, he's got to be chuckling. His name is Beavers. His last name is Beavers, I think. Was in today's clip.
I did not see that.
I thought.
But, yeah, I think Baltimore, step back.
Step back?
Tennessee, step back. Who are the other two? Jets.
Jets.
Patriots might hang 100 on them based on the stupid things they continue to say.
Titans.
Between Rex Ryan saying he's not here to kiss Bill Belichick's rings. Yeah. I'm okay with that. But Kerry Rhodes saying they're going to have this special defense and he feels bad for the opposing offenses. Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel bad for you when they're going deep on you all day long, Kerry.
Yeah.
He's made life tough on the Patriots at times over the years, but when Patriots, and they'll read those. Bill will put, they'll be sure that those are expressed. They seriously may hang 100 points on the Jets.
I think you're right. I don't know who he's referring to here, but John in South Carolina writes in.
I hate Paul.
Guys and Angry Troll Boy.
Is that that's got to be you.
Andy?
I don't know. What'd I do?
You're the angriest person I know.
You are. Pot, kettle, black.
I don't know.
What it is. Who's this, John?
This is John from South Carolina.
I never liked him.
I'm certainly not angry about anything.
What?
What?
Not today.
Not today.
He doesn't even know when he's doing it anymore.
I can't
before
believe
the show started, you two were arguing about something that he called you angry about. I don't even remember what the hell it was.
Because I had the audacity to say I didn't like Trot Nixon. That made me angry.
Oh, that's right.
No, he made like three comments in a row, which were very, very angry.
Oh, the other one was about the movie, about Benjamin Button being
Yeah, I liked it the first time when it was called Forrest Gump.
And quoting a movie reviewer, suddenly that made me angry. That was another example.
You are angry.
Wasn't my comment.
Well, I guess the consensus here is Angry Troll Boy is referring to you, though.
Nice.
I would agree.
So, I would offer to buy lunch, he says, but I spent the money on renewing my PFW subscription. Hey, jobs over lunch. Can't be bad.
I'm okay with it.
Hey, I'm okay with that.
Well done, John.
We're okay with that.
Good decision right there.
Let's hope. Pansy. Hopefully Carol got the order straight.
That's, yeah.
I doubt it. Fortunately, she's on vacation, so it couldn't possibly be screwed up.
That's true. Unless she put the Sopranos in charge of...
No, she didn't
do that, did she?
Hey, Jim's on.
We've all focused on our outside linebackers and secondary, but could our offensive line be our weakness? I was watching the Steelers-Pats game rebroadcast, and I came away with two things. One, Delta O'Neal really was that bad.
Yep.
Two, will our offensive line be able to handle the pass rush from the Dolphins, Steelers, Colts, and maybe even the Jets?
Yep.
John in South Carolina.
First of all, the Delta O'Neal thing is dead on. And I saw the thing that he's talking about with Pittsburgh. The play, Nate Washington, remember the touchdown pass that Nate Washington dropped in that game? It was like a third down. Perfectly flow. He beat Delta O'Neal on that play so easily, he wasn't even trying to get in his way. So I totally agree with John on that. But the offensive line, I feel like you're going to call me angry on this one, Andy. I feel like I disagree with almost whatever the assessment of the offensive line is. When people,
No, that's
just fact. They get overrated, then they get underrated.
Yeah,
based on who's playing quarterback, based on how good the offense is.
That's exactly how I feel, and I'm glad that you didn't attack.
They were bad in the beginning of the year when Matt Castle was looking like a deer in headlights and falling down, and they were giving up 5 sacks a week.
Right.
He started to get comfortable in the offense. They're spreading it out. They're going gun. The offense is moving, and they're back. They were the same group. They were no different. They were the same guys.
I mean, I'll even go back to 07. They had three guys that got Pro Bowls. Two of them were all pro, if I'm not mistaken, Light and Mankins, right? I don't think they were that good. Then they had a terrible game, game
in the Super Bowl. 42.
They weren't that bad. Yeah. I mean, they didn't play well that particular day.
Right, but they weren't that bad over the stretch of the season.
And because of that, everybody has blamed that whole thing. Well, the offensive line, you know, they're not as good as they look when things are going great because Brady is so adept at avoiding the rush and knowing where the pressure is coming from. And they're not as bad as they looked when they were taking a ton of sacks.
Right. Yeah, a lot of that was
Castle last year. I think a lot of that was on him. Up until about the second half of that Monday night game against Denver, I thought suddenly he kind of got it, for lack of a better term. And he seemed to be a whole different guy from that point on.
Right.
So I think the offensive line is fine. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's terrible. I think it's adequate.
Big thing with them is they need to – certain players on there have to stay healthy. Stephen Neal has had his ups and downs the last few years.
Well, I think Matt Light is a guy I put in that category. Even though I don't think Matt Light's a great left tackle, I think he needs to stay healthy. I think there was a difference when he was out. What year was that? Was that 06?
When he went down in the Pittsburgh game?
Yeah. There was a difference there. Might have been 05.
No, I think it was 05.
Might have been 05 when I think Ashworth ended up having to play left tackle. There was a big difference there.
But, you know.
It might have been Cat. No, Casher might have played left tackle. And then he missed that Denver game, and it was Ashworth.
But that's the big concern in my mind is, you know, they've had years, like you said, where they've been depleted by injuries. They've had years where they, like 2007, when they made the whole season with basically nothing. And they have some good backups at O-line, but if you have to rely on them for, you know, 8, 9, 10 games, 12 games, that's when I start to wonder whether or not the O-line is going to be as stable as it has been. John writes in to clarify, I am the angry troll.
Yes! Oh, wow! Because Andy and I were convinced it was one of us.
Because I've been perpetually pissy lately, he says. That's true. I have very little of that.
I think of a troll. I think of those pencil toppers with the big fruity
hair. Shake the thing.
And I don't have that, but you don't have anything.
Oh, I don't have anything either.
You get a little something, a little thinning up there.
Oh! Waitress!
Forgot to talk about Paul met a girlfriend at the...
That's true.
The golf tournament.
That's right.
We were sitting at a table, and a waitress comes up, and she's lingering far too long, and she starts chatting Paul up about his TV appearances on Comcast.
Now, when you say the word waitress... What thought immediately comes in your mind as far as look, age, that sort of thing?
What do you think
a general waitress?
A general?
General, yeah, generally.
College student. College.
Right, young,
no.
Fit, yep. Attractive.
Nope.
None of those qualified for Paul in this case.
And this is not being disrespectful. I'm just going to describe her as is. Gray hair, flat top, and 60 years
spiky.
Old.
Spiky. Katie Lang's grandma.
Spiky, yeah, spiky hair.
I was on board when she was... ripping Mike Felger and questioning how he has jobs and, you know, how she emails and complains about him. No one ever gets back to her.
that was funny.
But then she just started talking about Paul and how much better looking he is in person, and she leaned in
those
close.
Those blue eyes.
And there,
that's a direct quote, too, right?
Yes, those blue eyes.
You were there.
On
TV. No, I wasn't there for part of it.
She doesn't. She sees him on TV, and he's so pale, and she wonders, is he sick? And when she reached in to gaze into his eyes, I said, you guys need me to leave you alone for a minute or two? And I had to walk away because, you know, I thought I was going to witness, what do they call it when you cheat on your wife?
Infidelity.
Yeah, something like
that. There's about as much chance of infidelity in that little liaison.
I would hope so, for your sake, Paul.
As you have of being 6'5".
It was uncomfortable.
It was a little uncomfortable.
She wanted a piece of some Paul Perillo right then and there.
We were leaving.
She was just a nice old lady.
She wasn't nice to Eric. She wasn't nice to Andy. She wasn't nice to the doctor.
Nice.
We were all sitting around that table. The only one she wanted to get in the pants of was Paul Perillo.
And when
I think that's completely inaccurate.
Andy?
I think she was nice to you.
When we left, you're
big with the gray beards. I mean, the gray hairs.
That's my demo.
When we left.
Big with the grandparents.
Paul, it was you, me, and Paul. In the back of the line, and she looked up from another table she was waiting on and said, where are you going now? Looking directly at Paul. And
Andy and I just kept walking. I think that was all three of us walking out.
No.
She was in love.
She was. She was smitten.
Hey.
I was just glad you didn't get into a fight with her about anything, because that's typically who you...
Went the other way. He was a lover, not a fighter that day.
Seriously.
That's just utter nonsense.
Now, how close did she get? Because I walked away when she was leaning in to look at your eyes, get a closer look.
She was on the other side of the radio table.
Did your lips contact? Was there a kiss?
Oh, now, see.
There was a little tongue at one point, and I'm not going to lie. That made me a little uncomfortable.
But I was uncomfortable, and that isn't a lie. That's no radio show joke.
The funny part is,
it was awkward time.
When she came over initially, she asked me how I put up with those guys. And I thought she was talking about Eric and Andy.
I thought so, too.
But it turned out she was talking about Mike Felger and Gary Tangway. So we talked about that for a little while. She was kind of going back and forth. She was going back and forth with Eric and Andy and myself, and we were all laughing and joking. And then Andy and Eric, you guys, I think, went to...
Do some work.
We went to go to the Longest Drive.
It was the Wilfork thing. We went to make sure that Wilfork was here.
Right.
We got confirmation that Wilfork was here, and we wanted to make sure that he wasn't speaking. And then you guys went and found out that he was actually going on EEI. And that's when Doc came back and said, I saw him with my own eyes. We can blog it. Bang. So we blogged it. You had already had it all set to go.
How long are we going here?
That's the funny part. When you came walking back, she came back over, and I see Andy coming. And I'm like, this isn't good. This isn't going to be good. And she told me that she didn't want to embarrass me in front of the guys. But then I was much better looking in person.
She said, too late.
The real funny part was when I ran into Eric and Andy in the clubhouse, and they go, we needed to leave the table. It was getting very,
it really
very
was.
Uncut.
It was very awkward.
Andy looked horrified.
I was. But the line of the day was, is he sick?
See, I thought the line of the day is, you have beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, you focus on what you want. I'll focus on what I want. Webradio at patriots.com is the email, 508-543-7482, the phone number. Matt in San Diego is curious about one Kevin O'Connell, who played his college ball there. Says, haven't heard much about O'Connell these days. As a San Diego resident, I feel some responsibility to follow what's going on with him. I know they were reworking his throwing mechanics last year. Is he looking decent as a backup or a bust? And as per Fred's ranking Rodney over Ed Reed because he's more versatile, we talked about that in the last show, I think maybe O'Connell is a little bit better than Brady because he can throw and scramble and Brady can only throw.
Good point.
O'Connell's on his way to the Hall of Fame, Matt in San Diego.
Good point.
We were actually discussing it out at practice today. He still continues to struggle a little bit at or around the line of scrimmage. The shorter the pass, the harder the throw for him.
Yeah, and I noticed
like
that.
Drew Bledsoe.
That's the comparison that Andy and I
but
made.
But he puts
the
touch
start.
On it. He just throws it at their knees, their ankles. Their...
Gutierrez, to me, is more like Drew.
Right, he throws it too hard.
It goes one speed, and it's off target a lot on those little screen passes. They're too hard. And O'Connell today, one was at the knees, one was a little bit wide, and then you see Brady do it, and it it's effortless. It's almost like it's a handoff when Brady does it. It lands right in the spot of the hands where he can just tuck it right in and go. Every time. It's amazing.
But you
he's
know,
pretty good now.
I still think he's going to develop into a decent backup quarterback.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
I do, too. And he's been getting the reps there. He's been getting a lot of, you know, after Brady goes.
He is, of course, the backup quarterback.
Right. After Brady's
so
been getting
he better get
and,
those reps. Brian Hoyer.
You're right. And Matt Gutierrez.
Oh, yeah.
Nice guy, that Gutierrez. You got to root for
him. I don't really know him very well.
He's a nice
guy. To be honest with you, I've only spoken to him a couple of times. I like Kevin O'Connell a lot. I've talked to him a couple of times, too. But
likable.
Future Hall of Famer Trot Nixon just struck out with the bases loaded in 2005, in case you're wondering.
Boy, he's angry.
Reference.
Isn't he?
Yeah. I mean,
in case you didn't know, Paul, this is radio.
That's why I said exactly what it was. I didn't say, did you see that?
Wow. See, he's angry.
Paul's watching Trot Nixon, and I'm watching the hottie on TV.
You have a better spot for that.
Although she put clothes
on. I noticed that I turned around and there's two guys there, so that says a lot about Andy.
Funny, when I'm watching, there's two boobs there.
Rajiv chimes in. Hey, guys, and Eric. How are you all doing? Great show as always. I was
you
thinking,
could not read that, you know. You could just say, hey, guys.
I could, but I'm being honest.
And Eric.
I was thinking about the contract issues of Wilfork and Seymour in particular, something we started off the show talking about. I've been thinking a possible scenario. We traded out of the first round this year and signed no big-name free agents. Let's say, hypothetically, we do trade out of the first round next year for additional second-rounders. We thus have saved a lot of money. Do you think the money saved in itself, or along with restructuring some other contracts, can help us in retaining both Seymour and Wilfork? What do you guys think? The reason I'm thinking of the Pats trading out of the first round next year is because I was checking out some defensive ends slash outside linebackers for next year's draft, and there are many in the 6'4 to 6'6, around 260 mold, Belichick's preference, projected to go in the second round. Once again, great show. Keep up the good work. Rajiv.
You also got to add the speed in there, too, though. It's not just the height.
Right.
It's the 6'4", 4'6".
Yep.
Guys, which we won't know until we get into the process more, because any 40s that are out there now are not worth the paper they're printed on. They're like NFL injury reports. Well, first of all, next year is an uncapped year at this point. That's one factor to keep in mind.
So, right.
It's a huge,
so while talking about the salary cap, now I know in theory they're working towards a new CBA, so anything you do has to kind of fit in with the parameters of what might come from that. Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd save money if you didn't have a first-round pick. You'd be paying less money, and you restructure contracts. And sure, do I think it's likely? No.
Let me ask you this question, and I'm right up front. I don't know the specific answer to it, but how much money did they save this year by not taking one guy in the first round and instead taking four in the second?
Oh, not much.
I wouldn't think that
they
saved a
lot of money.
No, but I'm
just saying in an average year, trade out to the
I'm
following
talking
year.
In terms of, do you now have the ability to sign Wilfork and Seymour to extensions because you saved all this money from not? That's
no.
That was the question.
No.
I'm not sure you
the
have
the money
a tremendous
they saved this year
savings.
Was Ellis Hobbs by getting
sure.
rid of him.
Sure.
But if you were targeting doing that and next year you wouldn't trade to get four second rounders, you'd want them the following year and you'd be pushing them off a little
bit. But they already have three, right? Three right. second rounders next year.
Right, but I'm saying you would trade early stuff from next year to get out of it. Get
You could package the second rounder with the first rounder and
right.
get the you know what out.
But it's still, I think, minimal and I think unlikely.
Yeah.
I think it's
unlikely, but by the way, and this is apropos of nothing, but Seymour and Will Fork, I think the chances of both of those guys being re-signed.
Right, that's what I said.
Slim.
It's hard to dance the game, like we talked about earlier. You can say, I want one or the other, but all of a sudden you get neither, and you're like, what happens?
Then you have an enormous need. Gaping
hole. That
used to be one of your strengths.
Now we're arguing about whether Brace or Wright, or, well, now it's Brace and Wright and Green, and, well, he's a free agent, but now it's all hands on deck, and you're filling in all pros with quality backups who are backups for a reason.
I agree.
Have you discussed with Doc when you're going to
start
playing?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yes, we have. I like to use the little instant messaging thing that
Fred refuses to use.
It's very helpful to have this, by the way. Thank you for that, Doctor.
Get off your knees.
Ryan from Fairfax. Next month, training camp begins, fellas. Can you believe that? This offseason is gone.
Believe me, I can
basically.
Believe it.
It's a lot of believing.
And Ryan from Fairfax wants to know a little bit about training camp. He said, what does it take to get in to view the open practices? Any sign-ups, waiting lists, tickets, prices?
A car.
You send me $45, and I'll take care of you.
That's inaccurate.
Training camp practices are open to the public. Anybody can come. You don't need a ticket. You don't need to make reservations.
Parking is free.
And
admission is free.
You have to stay tuned to Patriots.com for the updated schedule in terms of the availability and what the practice times will be. We don't even know right now what specifically the first day of open training camp will be.
Right.
It will be late in July, I would think, but we don't even know exactly what that date is.
Why don't we do a tent, $5 tickets, watch training camp with the PFW boys and their unfiltered observations of the practice action?
First of all, I think the Kraft family might have an objection to that.
Why?
Us unfiltered?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
Us charging $5 when everything else is free?
That was the least of the worries.
Not everything's free.
Yeah,
well,
the ability to go there is free. That's where the free part ends.
You ever see those ice cold waters, which I will once again ask, if it's ice cold water, wouldn't it be ice?
That's a good point. He has to quibble with the poor little hawker who's just trying to do his job out there.
No, he was a clown.
The guy with the rhymes, the guy who was always going around rhyming? Oh, come on.
He would say, $2.50 for water. If you can go up the street, it's $1.25. I wouldn't buy it for me, but $2.50 water.
The kid was just doing his job, and he was
kind of not really. He was telling people where to buy it cheaper.
Was he really?
Yes.
You know that for sure?
Heard it with my own ears.
Really?
Yep.
Did not know that. Paul, did you know about this?
No.
I didn't either. I think Andy's making stuff up.
No.
You really heard the kid say that?
Yes. Read an email.
Anyway, Ryan says he's spending the entire month of August in New England. What is this, Europe? You get the whole month of August off? That's great.
I don't know. That's what you've done the last few years. You go to Italy for months.
Usually it's May, but it's not August. The point is taken.
He's spending the entire month of August in New England with his dad. So besides maybe a preseason game, I'm hoping to get down to Gillette and see some Patriots action. Well, you should be able to do it.
Come on down.
Yeah, and we'll be in the media tent if you want to stop on by and say hello like a lot of our listeners do.
Brian Lowell, I'm sure, will be around signing autographs as he is wont to do.
Always. He'll even sign the back of a Papagino's paper plate. He's done that for like 12-year-old girls who had nothing else and didn't really know who he was.
But. Word.
Paul, I know you're going to enjoy this. Keith in Central Florida. You know our boy Keith?
Okay.
He's written a few times before.
Yeah. No.
But he wants to bring up the idea that you had a few weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
Says, recently Paul and Eric were talking about how they would like to go on a road trip someday to see some of the historic college football teams.
Wait, now it's Paul and Eric?
Somehow Eric's involved in my...
what are you going to call it, the game-mobile?
I said I would drive.
My post-PFW career.
You don't like to drive anywhere.
You can rent the Wiener-mobile, you two hot dog.
Are you going to come? You want to come with us?
Not in that threesome.
There's only two of us.
Yeah, it would be a threesome if I joined.
Oh, boy. Mark,
you said you didn't want to join our threesome. Just admit that you misspoke.
Anyway.
I don't want to be part of that pickle parade.
He says, I live in Florida. Yes, Central
Florida.
Two
guys going to a football game is suddenly a pickle parade for
First of all, two guys doing anything.
That's the name of a Mike Vrabel children's book, for the love of God.
That was a pickle pie party.
That's right.
Pickle party pie.
It's one of Will's favorites, by the way.
Is it really?
Hey, he really
not surprised.
That. He liked that book.
Keith says he's gone to some of the FSU and UF games down here. Coming from New England, college football is very serious down here. Yes, we're aware. It's like religion. There are many NFL players and prospects that come from here. FSU and Doak Campbell Stadium is one of the best places to see a college game. I'd love to see a game.
I'd like
there.
To see the guy.
I love
come
the whole
the,
Chief Osceola and the Tomahawk Chop.
Not surprising.
It's a great venue.
About the Osceola.
It's the name of a tribe down there.
Wow, that's a little tough.
I thought it was Pensacola.
Aheola.
That's the name of a tribe.
That's you.
Plus, they got the girls in the cowboy hats in the front row.
Yeah.
Bodies.
There's also one of the most spectacular traditions in all of college football with, as he mentioned, Chief Osceola charging down the field, riding an Appaloosa horse named Renegade and plants a flaming spear. Yeah, we know all this, Keith. That's why we want to go. UF and
I'm not mad about it, Keith, but yeah, that is why I want to go.
F you.
UF and the Swamp, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, Florida Field, was built in 1930 and is now the largest stadium in the state of Florida and one of the largest and loudest anywhere in the country. With the Gators dominating like they have the past few years, it's a can't-miss for an awesome football experience.
And we already have an open invitation to go to...
Yes, we do.
From Ken.
President's box or front row?
Yeah. Or the field.
Or the field.
Oh, actually on the field?
On the field, he said.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he meant front row. I thought he meant like sitting...
So, on the field, I'd say.
So I'm going to definitely take Ken up on that offer.
Maybe they'll show us on the sideline.
I just
don't
know
they always
know
show like celebrities who get the sideline passes.
Right.
PFW boys in the house today.
Oh, you're coming to that one now. Yeah. Now it's not a pickle party.
I won't stand near you. And
now it's not a pickle party.
Yeah.
I see.
P.S. from Keith. I was too bummed.
I was bummed
the Patriots passed on Everett Brown. This year, keep your eyes on Brandon Spikes, inside linebacker from Florida, and linebacker Mark Herzlich from BC, who was a beast playing against FSU last year and was also the ACC Defensive Player of the Year from 08. I went to the BC-FSU game, and he was all over the field making plays, mostly right at the line of scrimmage or behind it. So that's Keith in Central Florida encouraging us to live the dream, Paul. And maybe Andy, if he, you know.
We should probably let Keith know that the BC linebacker, Herzlich, has cancer. Not trying to,
yeah.
not a typical
no, not to
PFW,
be a downer,
you know, we're always lighthearted here, but he is dealing with a very serious health matter right now, and
so
I'm not
his future's kind of in question.
His football future is the least of his concerns right now.
It's 3:35. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to be hearing from a couple of guys we talked to at the golf tournament yesterday, Richard Seymour and Fred's favorite, Tank Williams. We'll be back.
For pride, honor, and victory, the time has come to defend our trophy, Superliga 2009. The rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos Laguna, Sunday, June 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. And remember, MLS Futbolito Tournament before the game. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or go to revolutionsoccer.net. For pride, honor, for pride.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to four of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow, how about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride.
Drives it, and in. What a goal! Sammy Diaz!
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
PFW in Progress here at another Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament at the International in Bolton, the 12th annual Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament. Eric Scalavino and Andy Hart, Paul Parola with you, minus our fearless leader, and that can only mean one thing, and that's bad. Fred Kirsch.
Yeah. He's got some sort of meeting or something.
So you're going to have to bear with us for what promises to be a painful hour here at the golf tournament. We're efforting right now. The doc is trying to get some players. Right now, I believe Richard Seymour is in the bullpen, and we're hoping to get him.
I don't know. He was busy holding down a big easy chair out front. So I don't know if he wants to leave that for us.
I did notice that, and that would be my option if I were Richard. I would be sitting in that seat as long as I could because it looked to be rather comfortable. But another charitable foundation golf tournament, another season. I guess the big story today is whether or not we'll see Vince Wilfork, and we'll get that information to you. Obviously, by the time our listeners hear this, that is already going to be a foregone conclusion, and we do have Richard Seymour making his way over to the microphone. Good job by Doc. A rare good job by Doc getting
shot already.
A quality player. So, well, at one time he was a quality player anyway.
Shots
from everywhere for shot. Everyone.
What? Is this on? Is this microphone on?
Is this Dale and Holly?
Oh, wow. The shots go both ways here.
Well done by Richard Seymour.
No, they have the good side up inside by the bar.
Yeah, no, they're probably drinking as we speak.
It's D1 over there.
Yeah, we're D3.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's another shot.
That is a shot. We're sort of the Ray Ventrone of these radio shows.
Glad to have Richard Seymour here. Richard, these golf tournaments, what are they like for the players, these charitable foundation golf tournaments?
Well, now that we've got good weather, it's good. I think the last few years, I think we've been struggling with the weather. But, you know, I think even with the weather, it's been for a great cause. You know, it's always been about giving back, you know, to the children. And, you know, that, I mean, for me personally, I have my own foundation. I try to support all foundations. You know, I think the Kraft family does a great job of, getting the players out, getting the sponsors out, and really, focus on giving back to the children. Like I said, anything about the children, you know, I'm willing to, walk 18 holes for that.
All right. Well, how's the game anyway? Before we get to any football questions, how's the golf game?
I kind of got a little wrap on my finger, so, you know, I got the little tiger.
It's always good to lay the foundation for an excuse early.
Is that questionable, doubtful? I'm going with doubtful.
And go hands. Don't go finger. It's a little too
close. Not finger. Right. Hand.
Yeah.
So you're playing more of a supportive role for the person that you're working with.
Absolutely. It's a supportive role, you know, just to, you know, I got a sports psychiatrist, so I'm trying to, psychologist.
We could probably use psychiatrist, though.
Yeah, but, you know, I think I'm going to give the mental edge today.
You have your eye on anything? You check out these prizes at all?
I saw
Bentley Continental
absolutely,
on the 11th.
And I know it's do they have the one this year with the Jets? Was it Marquis?
Marquis Jet?
Yeah, they usually do have that.
But ooh,
you know, back in the day, Rodney used to claim that if he ever got it, he would share it with me.
Yeah,
he was bagging it though because he never won.
Trip to the Masters.
Wow.
Well, he's one of you guys.
You can
now,
do that all the time. That's true. he's taking shots at Rodney.
Yeah,
he's,
I got
to
take shots at him.
He's one of you guys.
Yeah, he's
now.
One of you guys.
Well, he
now,
did
so.
Say that his
I gotta
priority
screen his
was
calls.
Golf.
he did mention last week his first priority is now golf. So that didn't take long for the transition.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of that, Richard, he's one, Rodney. Mike Vrabel's another. Rosie and some other guys that have been around that locker room for, you know, several years. What's it been like to go through these practices, these OTAs, without some of those familiar faces?
Well, you know, it's always, I think every year, you know, the league always changes and, you know, it's always new players coming in and new players going out. And, you know, you always try to keep your core group of guys. And we have to understand that it is a business. And, you know, every year it's a lot of turnover in the National Football League, you know. Guys are here and gone, and, you know, whether it's coaches, players, I think you have to learn to adapt. It's definitely been going to be a transition period for us because of, you know, Rodney's been with us for a while. You know, Vrabel, you know, he's been one of the, you know, smartest players that I've ever been around. You know, just what he brought to the table, not only just from a athletic standpoint, but from a mental standpoint of getting guys lined up, calling defenses, you know. So that's definitely going to be, in my opinion, a loss for us. But, you know, it's an opportunity for other guys. You know, it's an opportunity for other guys to step up and take on that responsibility. And, Pierre Woods, Crable, you know, some of the outside linebackers. So, you know, we'll see how things shape up for those guys. But, it's tough to place guys like Rodney. And, you know, guys who won Super Bowls and been in the big games and, you know what it takes. You know, you don't have to explain to them. They automatically know what it takes. But, you know, they had to get to that point as well. You know, guys had to groom them. So, you know, it's just a different role. that we'll take on this season, and we'll just see how it plays out. But you know, at this point now, we're just putting in work.
Richard, one of the big stories of the offseason is one of your teammates along the defensive line, Vince Wilfork, coming to the end of his rookie contract, something you've been through before, and kind of the business side coming over into football, and he hasn't been at OTAs. Have you talked to him about maybe how he's handling a situation, and have you advised him at all, having been through it in the past? Or do you guys even talk about those things, or do they say?
Well, I always come from the standpoint of, you know, when he's on the field, you know, he's on the field. You know, I really don't get involved with other people's personal issues, you know, because like I said, you know, it's a business. And, you know, you have to, take care of your business side of it. So for any player that's going through, the business side of it, I always let, them and their reputation, representatives, you know, speak for that, I just wish him the best. And, he's always a plus when he's out on the field with us.
You said last week, I think somebody asked you about, you know, you're heading into the final year of a deal yourself.
Right.
But you don't really normally talk about your personal issues much in public when it comes to that sort of thing. But in the back of your mind, going into a final year, does that at all affect the, I don't want to say the level of play, but maybe the emotion that you bring into a game or the preparation for a season? Does that enter in at all, even in the back of your mind?
No, well, I feel like I'm going to bring, my A game every time I try to step on the field. And, last season was a season where, the season before I was banged up and, mm-hmm. I was able to come back last season and, match a career high for myself in sacks. I'm just looking to build upon that at this point. You know, I think that's my my focus at this point. You know, I if you look at my statistics, statistics can be, misleading, but I think at the same time, I said before the season I felt a lot better, and I think, the statistics spoke for themselves where I matched my career high in sacks and tackles. So, I'm definitely going to be better than that this year. Because I put in the work, I put in the work and I've been able to train. And, I haven't been able to train in years prior to that. I always was rehabbing. Like I said, now, I'm 29 years old and I really feel better than I did as a rookie. Total body wise, I feel great. I'm stronger. I'm leaner. Just feel good all the way around the board. So, I'm definitely, looking for big things this season. As far as my situation goes, I mean, it is what it is. I'm at the end of my contract, and, I feel like I'm in a great situation. If I had to bet on anybody, obviously it would be me because I just feel like I know the ability, I know the talent that I have. And, like I said, in years past, I've been banged up, and, ain't much I can do about that. And, but now, going forward, I feel great. And, like I said, I'm stronger and, I understand the game a lot better. And I think as far as defensive linemen are concerned, I think they play their best football, right around 28, 29, 30. So, I think just from a mental standpoint, it's a man game in the inside. And, I just feel like just with muscle maturity, because if you look at it, if you take the average guy who is, just say, 30 years old, the average guy who's 30 years old is going to beat the average guy who's 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, just from the standpoint of experience and muscle maturity, so I feel like, I'm a lot better than I was back when, I was going to all my Pro Bowls. So,
Richard, this is going to sound like a deep question, but
doubt it coming from you.
He is always one of the more intelligent players. You really, look at things and think mm-hmm. at it from all angles. Heading into a contract year mm-hmm. and the economy that we live in today, right. all around the world, and I don't know if you've had discussions with your representatives about this, but are we going to see real-world economics kind of get into the game of football and in any way limit the finances of football? I mean, it's hard to say this year with Albert Haynesworth getting potentially $100 million. But, I mean, have you thought about that at all or had any discussions with your representatives?
We're going to bring in the stimulus package. We're going to stimulate the economy. So with all the stimulus going on, I'm sure it'll be enough for us for the primetime players out there.
Very good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah, no question.
At least to stimulate the Seymour economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You mentioned a couple of the Pierre Woods and Sean Crable and some of those guys. Have any of those younger guys that maybe we're not overly familiar with because we haven't seen, Crable especially hasn't played one down. Any of those guys surprise you with the improvements they've made from last year to this that you're really excited about seeing how they can contribute?
I think the only time we really had an opportunity to really see them, in game speed has really been in the preseason last year. I think they've been all training hard, but until you really get out there, put on the pads, go through practices and the grind of football, it's tough to kind of say. But, they definitely look good in shorts and T-shirts, I'll tell you that. So they're definitely past the test as far as that's concerned. But, I feel like, they're definitely mature guys. I tell you, Crable's definitely one of the fastest guys I've seen off the edge. Vince Red is so long and – yeah, I mean, he looks like a basketball player. Two steps, it looks like he's around the corner and around the tackle. And, Pierre, ever since I've been here, has been one of the hardest working guys, in the weight room, on the field, conditioning, running, and just really putting in the work. So, I definitely think, it's his time and, it's up to him to really seize the moment.
After today's tournament, you have an OTA tomorrow. You've got a 3-day mini camp the rest of the week.
Right.
And then nothing really till training camp starts the end of next month.
Well, nothing team-wise.
Nothing team-wise, right. So that was going to lead to my question was, in that span of nothing official happening, you have to sort of keep in shape, but you have time off. How do you sort of balance staying in shape, staying mentally in shape, and also getting some rest because it's going to be a long grind for the next few
absolutely.
Months?
I think, me personally, I can really only speak for myself. I'll finish up the off-season program up here. I'll finish up the last 2 weeks after minicamp. I finish up the program here and there. Really at the beginning of July, I head back down south and train down there for probably 4 days a week. Probably won't be as much lifting, but it'll probably be more running oriented because we're going to do a lot of running in training camp. And, you don't want to be so big and stiff, come season time. You want to be able to loosen up. And I never like to get too big and stiff anyway. I always try to be, more athletic and more lean and, keeping my ability to move, because that's what I think is, if you can move around in this league, you can be here for a while. So, really just taking time away, spending that time with my children and my family because, when training camp come, it'll be, definitely like I always get a call like, man, you're in a black hole. You can't even answer your phone or do anything like that. But, you're really just on the grind at that point. And, so I'll definitely spend that time, with my family, my kids and, definitely training 4 days a week. And, when it's time to come back up here, be ready to go for training camp.
So it's still a pretty busy period.
Absolutely. I don't think it's a time where you can, totally take off, but it's a time where, where your conditioning needs to be up, your flexibility and, still keeping your muscle memory is where you need to be as far as football is concerned.
Well, if people need to reach you, they can always call the fan hotline, right?
Oh, no, I'm done with that.
Short-lived experiment.
Yeah,
Twitter? Twittering?
I don't. You know what? I'm not a real big, MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. I really don't get too deep in that. I'm not a Twitter guy.
Do you know Julius Peppers at all?
Do I know him? We've met several times. I don't know.
So you don't know him really well. You didn't talk.
No, I don't.
Did you follow any of that? With him seemingly like he's begging to get to a 3-4 team. The Patriots were, one of the teams that was mentioned. I don't know how serious any of that ever got. But did you follow any of that? Have a guy like trying to play outside linebacker?
Yeah, I heard about it. All I know is he's under contract with Carolina and until he signs the tender or whatever
because he's basically built like you, right? I've never seen you guys side by side, but he's a big boy.
He is definitely a big big guy.
He'd be a big outside linebacker.
Well, that's kind of why I brought it up.
Anything can happen in this league. You never know. You hear one day, you go on the next. It's a lot of turnover. Lawyer was here, then he was gone. Mm-hmm. and you know So you never know how things shape up. But like I always said, you know, you control the things that you can control, and the things that you can't control, you just you deal with it when it comes. So, you know, I mean, I just know, you know, when it's time to suit up and scrap on, wherever I'm at, I'll be ready to go.
Well, right. Good luck shooting with that Bentley today. The 11th hole is the one. You need a hole in one, a number 11.
That's the one I'll shoot on.
That's the Bentley that he shares with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Bentley,
the Bentley
Continental.
I don't have Rodney around anymore, so that's going to fall on someone's shoulders.
Thank you, Richard.
We appreciate it, Richard.
Thanks
Richard
for Seymour
have a good
here.
Day.
Good luck with that stimulus plan, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, calling for some more stimulus packages from Barack Obama.
Yeah. He's getting it done.
So what are some of our other special prizes there, Andy?
They have some good ones. As I said, a trip for two to the Kentucky Derby, which is Tom Brady's always in attendance at that, right?
I don't think he needs to win anything.
Custom
to get
pool
there.
Table, I like. Not too many people have a
custom pool. What does that mean exactly? What do they do to customize it?
They
put like your
they
name
make
on
it for
or something?
You, whatever
or?
You want.
If you want to, you know, have
so
it break left to right, you'll know.
So
I don't
when
know.
You do the Eric Scalavino Cribs episode, you can come and show okay. it where it says Scalavino.com across the top.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like gold-plated.
You could have some of your art maybe laid into
well,
the belt.
That was my first thought, was maybe if you wanted like a Patriots logo in the middle of
no,
it or
No, your first
like
thought
that.
Was an Everett guy. Breaks left to right. From left to right.
That was a joke.
Hey, anybody want to go downstairs to shoot a game? $100 a ball.
All right, we got Doc on his way over with Tank Williams, so we're going to prepare right. for...
So I can stop reading the prizes?
You can read maybe one
Montreal.
Or two more, but...
I think it's Mr. Stanford.
Yeah.
Wow, all Stanford all the time, wow. huh?
I have my Northeastern stuff on. Does that count?
No. No, he actually went to that school.
His school's better academically, athletically, and location-wise, everything.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Details.
We paid a visit out there last year when we were... We were there for the week.
You went out to Stanford?
Went out to Stanford for a day. Went around. Beautiful campus.
Yeah.
You must miss it out there, huh?
Yeah. I go back all the time.
Tank Williams. This is the man who Fred Kirsch. We need Fred Kirsch right
it's
now.
True.
Our boss Fred, right has a man crush on Tank Williams.
I believe he refers to you as the key to the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Hidden weapon.
No pressure.
Obviously, it's based in part on training camp last year. You're playing some linebacker, safety, hybrid. And he got very excited. Then, unfortunately, you had the knee injury and weren't able to put that into action on the field. But are you falling back into the same mold? I mean, do you think you could do some unique things on defense for this team?
I mean, I hope so. Yeah. That's the plan. But, you know, I'm just getting back into everything. And just, you know, it just feels good to be back out there on the field and going out there every day with the guys, being able to participate, perform, and try to make plays out there on the field. And so, knock on wood, hopefully I can stay healthy this year and then do some good things out there.
Are you at the point where you are – working towards football and done rehabbing and feel like you're 100%?
Yeah, right now my total focus is just football, whether it's in the weight room, lifting, or out there on the field, learning the plays, running the plays. And so, you know, I feel I'm in a good place right now.
You've had some misfortune in the past with injuries, knocking you out for seasons at a time or whatever. How do you, each time this happens, how do you keep from becoming too frustrated and keeping your desire to come back to rehab, to do all that work, to get back to where you were and to give it another go the next year?
Well, I think, unfortunately, I had a lot of practice at it. So I'm pretty good at bouncing back right now. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you just have to understand that it happened. And so what can you do about it? I mean, there's no need to kind of focus on the negatives. I just try to take something from it positive and just kind of focus on rehabbing. And, you know, it's worked out good for me. You know, I feel good. I feel great. And I never really let it get me down. I feel like I'm coming back even stronger and in better shape than I was even before then. And so I always try to come back better than what it was previously. So I feel good.
How different, you know, some of the stuff that we saw you doing last year before you got hurt, and, you know, even in the OTAs now, closer to the line of scrimmage as that hybrid role that Andy mentioned. How different is that from most of the stuff that you've done throughout your career?
I mean, actually, it's really not too much different at all. I mean, you know, whether I was in college or in Tennessee or in Minnesota, like, I've always played close to the line of scrimmage, and I played back deep in the secondary as well. I mean, so I'm accustomed to doing both things, and I'm comfortable doing both things. So, I mean, I don't really think it affects me too much. I mean, it just feels natural to me whether I'm far back or out close to the line.
Do you think the way... And I know it's kind of a big picture question, but the game seems to be morphing towards you have to have safeties that can do a lot of different things, because offenses just throw a ton at defenses with spread, you know, 3-4 wide receiver sets. So do you think the game is almost
you know, now benefiting your style of play and maybe having extra defensive backs on the field?
I don't know if it's benefiting my style of play, but it's just a chess match, really. I mean, you know, offense always trying to tweak things a little bit. So defense is always doing the same things. You always want to try to keep your opponent off their toes. So whatever little wrinkle you could throw in here or there, you know, whatever is effective, I mean, that's pretty much going to give you the edge, you know, each and every game. I mean, so I think that not just us, but everybody in the league is always trying to look for that edge, whether it's the wildcat or things like that. So, you know, it always keeps the games interesting. You never know what to expect.
You know, Rodney Harrison was a guy who he didn't necessarily play, you know, inside linebacker, but he played close to the line of scrimmage a lot when he was asked to. I remember, I think a game last year in Indianapolis, he was actually shadowing Dallas Clark the whole time. So he was either up on the line, following him, dropping back into coverage a lot. Now that he's gone, that might, at least to to an outsider's perspective, give you an extra opportunity to maybe fill in the role that he was playing, because you have the ability to play both inside, maybe drop back a little bit. You have a little bit more versatility. That might open up a little bit more of an opportunity for you, especially coming back off of this injury.
I mean, yeah, you know, those are one of those things we'll see. I mean, you know, I feel that I'm effective playing against the run or playing back deep against the pass or covering tight ends, backs, wide receivers, whatever. I mean, so it's just one of those things that it's my game plan. You know, hopefully there's a lot of game plan situations where I'm out there and I'm able to be used effectively to help this team, help the defense play well each and every week. And so, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to the most. It's not so much about an opportunity opening up because Rodney left or because somebody's doing this or that. You know, it's just one of those things where if I go out there and I perform the way I need to each and every day on the practice field and on the game field, then there should be a spot for me.
What kind of dynamic do you see developing in this secondary? I know it's just OTAs and passing camps, but it seems like there's some newcomers with experience in Bodden and Springs. You know, Harrison's gone. You have a young core of safeties, some corners they drafted last year and this year. What kind of dynamic is coming together in the secondary right now?
I mean, you know, it's still early on. I mean, but the thing is, I think everybody's working hard to get better. It's one of those things where, like you said, we have some old guys, we have some young guys, but the most important thing is that everybody's competitive. And so everybody wants to compete and be the best out there on the field. And those guys on the other side of the ball are pretty competitive, yeah, too. I mean, so when you're going against Brady and Moss and all those guys, they want to try to show us up, and we want to try to show them up. And so when you have that kind of competition in practice, you know, it feeds, you know, both sides of the ball. So hopefully we have something special going on, you know, throughout the whole team.
How's the golf game?
The golf game is pretty terrible.
So you didn't get any tips from Tiger at Stanford?
The golf game is pretty terrible, so that's why I'm trying to channel all the inner Tiger I can. I got on my Stanford shirt.
Right, you got the look.
I got
you
on got the Sunday hat, red, right? Even though it's Monday, I got the Sunday red hat on. So hopefully I can get at least one decent shot today, because all the other ones are going to probably either go in the drink or in the hazard. So
unlike Seymour, you're actually going to participate. You're going to actively. He claimed he had a little bit of a finger problem.
I won't go as far as saying I'm going to participate, but there might be a couple of times where I pull out my club and take a whack at it here or there. But for the most part, I'd probably be one of those guys that you see just riding along in the court, just laughing at other folks so people can't laugh at me. But it should be good times out there.
Have you practiced the fist pump, the Tiger fist, just in case you hit one and it goes in? You got to be ready to celebrate.
Actually, the last time I practiced the fist pump, I was out at Poppy Hills in California. I didn't play. My friends played. I drove the cart. That shows you how.
You gave a fist pump for them?
Yeah. That shows you my game. So then we walked to the 18th on Pebble Beach just to kind of check it out. And so I got a little picture of me doing the fist pump. But it's pretty bad. Like, I pulled my clubs out of my trunk to put them in the cart. And I had on the sticker from this tournament from last year. So that shows you the last time I pulled out my clubs. So it should be interesting today.
So I don't need to go over the hole-in-one
prize list
with you.
Yeah. Nah. That'd just be a waste of breath.
Specialize in.
All right, Tank. Well, I know you got some commitments to worry about. We appreciate you taking some time with us this morning, and we wish you the best of luck on the rehab. And hope to see you out on the field. We're going to have to relay to Fred that we actually got a chance to sit down and and talk with you on PFW.
The secret weapon is back.
The secret weapon is here.
Tell you what, I think he was a little embarrassed to come here because he was so shy to meet you.
He thought he might have to meet you. Yeah. I don't know if he would have been able to handle it. So,
excellent.
All right, thanks, guys.
The hybrid's in the house. Tank Wayne.
Drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.